ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ടരാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി ദിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാന് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർത്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരദ ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവൈ മുഹ്യന്തിയൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതവോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യദേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മേ സ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിതിതീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേൻ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണു കൊനിദാതൃദാനനെന്തോഹോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭദാ മുരാരേ മധുരിം ന കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാവും വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദപരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami is talking to Parikshit Maharaj of the discussion or instructions which Krishna has given to Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandham, where the importance of spiritual knowledge associated with bhakti and renunciation, that is what this chapter 19th is discussed. So we saw there that Krishna says to Uddhava that in the 24th verse in that chapter, Krishna says to Uddhava, evam dharmair manushyanam uddhavalpanivedinam മൈ സഞ്ജായതേ ഭക്തി കോന്യർത്ഥോസ്യാവശിഷ്യതേ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ ദാറ്റ് ബൈ എക്സിക്യൂട്ടിംഗ് ദിസ് ഭാഗവത ധർമ്മം ആൻഡ് ബൈ ഫോളോയിങ് ദാറ്റ് പ്രോസസ് വെൻ വൺ കംസ് ടു സറണ്ടർ ടു കൃഷ്ണ ശരണാഗതി, ഭാഗവതധർമ്മം ലീഡ്സ് ടു ശരണാഗതി ആൻഡ് ഹീ ഡിവലപ്സ് ദാറ്റ് പ്യുവർ ഡിവോഷൻ ടു മീ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് what else has he got to get in this life? Krishna is asking this question to Uddhava. In other words, Krishna has concluded that reaching that state of pure bhakti to Krishna ultimately is the perfection of spiritual life. That's what he is saying there. Evam dharmair manushyanam uddhava atmanivedinam mai sanjayate bhakti konyorthasyava avashishyate What else is there in life to get? Uddhava, Krishna is asking Uddhava there. And after that you have seen that in the next verse also, Edalpmanya arpitam arpitam chittam shantam sattvopabrahmhitam dharmam jnanam savairagyam aishwaryam chabibadhyate. Krishna is saying here that by now, by execution of this Bhagavata Dharmam, He has reached the stage how he has learned to keep his mind completely in the soul. That's what Krishna says there. Then, yada atmanyarpitam chittam. Chittam is atmanyarpitam. Completely fixed in the soul. Shantam sattvobha brahminam. Because of the pure goodness, what is sattvapradhanam? The chittam is the subtle body, is full of mode of goodness. And therefore, it will be fixed on the soul. So, that such a person, he says, dharmam, jnanam, vairagyam, aishwaryam. Religious principles or jnanam, knowledge of the self, renunciation, opulences, everything he gets without any difficulty. Here is a question now. Krishna says, mind has come to stay in the soul, he says here. Isn't it? Mind. Atmanyarpitam chittam. Chittam is a word used there. But chitta means basically the subtle body, which mainly the main component of that is the mind. Mind, intelligence, false ego and chittam. Four things together is the subtle body. So when sometimes it will be spoken like this, you may mention chittam, but it includes everything, includes the mind as well. So you will see in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, the similar situation, Krishna is talking about the 6th chapter in the 25th verse. Na kinjit abhichindayet, Krishna says. If you look that verse in the 6th chapter, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, na kinjit abhichindayet. What Krishna says, that shanai shaner uparamed, buddhyadrati grihidaya, atma samstam manakritva, na kinjit abhichindayet. See that verse? Shanai shaner uparamed, buddhyadrati grihidaya, Atma samstam mana kritva na kinjed abhichindayed. Gradually, step by step, one should become situated in the trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. That is the same state Krishna is talking about. Atma samstam mana kritva na kinjed abhichindayed. That is exactly what Krishna is saying here. Eda atmanyarpitam chittam shuddham sattvobha brahmidam. So, once the mind has come to the soul, mind has touched the soul, in other words, then there is no more other thoughts will come inside. That is what does it mean actually? Mind to stay in the soul means, though when it completely stops all kinds of chittavritti inside. Chittavrittis are completely stopped. And once we have no chittavritti inside, no thoughts coming through the chitti, coming through the chittam, that state, Krishna is saying here, that is your Swarupasthiti. That means you are situated on the platform of the soul. So Swarupasthiti, as it is called here. So, between the Chittavritti also, it is coming out. But once all the Chittavritti stops, then that's the only thing that remains. We discussed this before also. Between two thoughts, Krishna comes. One thought to another, there is Krishna's presence. Because our chittavritti is so forceful, the thought waves that's coming through is so powerful, that we have no time to look into that. Rather, we are more busy with the chittavritti itself, the vritti that is coming through. So, once this situation happens, Krishna says there, shanai shanai rubaramed, little by little, step by step, this should happen. When the mind gets fixed on the soul, when complete chittavritti stops there, then there is only self-realization, only the soul that is present at that time. It is not in between the thoughts anymore. Only that remains. Only Krishna remains at that time. So, in fact, chittam or the mind is moving in the background of the soul, isn't it? The soul is present there. That's how the mind is working. Continuous chittavrittis comes and goes. It's all because of the presence of the soul inside. So, but once the mind goes back to the place where it came from the soul, in other words, if it goes back there and it rests in the soul, and that is what that verse says, nischala tattve jivan mukti. There is a verse here, not here, in Bhajagovindam, there is a verse here, salsangatve nisangatvam. From satsangam comes nisangatam. Nisangatvam means detachment from this world. Nisangada, no sangam anywhere, no attachment anywhere. That comes from salsangam. സത്സംഗത്തെ നിസ്സംഗത്വം, നിസ്സംഗത്വേ നിർമോഹത്വം. ഫ്രം നിസ്സംഗത ഓർ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഡിറ്റാച്ച്മെന്റ് ഫ്രം ദിസ് വേൾഡ് നിർമോഹത്വം. നിർമോഹത്വം മീൻസ് ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ് ഇല്യൂഷൻ, ഇല്യൂഷൻ ഓഫ് ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ്, വി തിങ്ക് ദാറ്റ് ദ വേൾഡ് ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ്, വേൾഡ് ആസ് എ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് പൊസിഷൻ ഇൻ അവർ മൈൻഡ്, ആൻഡ് വി ഐഡൻറ്റിഫൈ വിത്ത് ദ വേൾഡ് സോ മച്ച്. പ്രാക്ടിക്കലി വി ഹാവ് നത്തിങ് ടു ഡു വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. ഡ്യൂ ടു ദിസ് ബോഡി വി ഹാവ് എ കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ്. വൺസ് വി ഹാവ് ഫിനിഷ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് ബോഡി, വാട്ട് കണക്ഷൻ ഹാവ് വി ഗോട്ട് വിത്ത് ദിസ് വേൾഡ്? നിസ്സംഗത്വേ നിർമോഹത്വം, നിർമോഹത്വേ നിശ്ചല തത്വം. വെൻ ദർ ദാറ്റ് ഇല്യൂഷൻ ഗോസ് അവേ, ദ തത്വം, ദ പ്രിൻസിപ്പിൾ, സോൾ ഇൻസൈഡ് ബിക്കംസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ്സ് ഓൺ വേ. ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഫ്രീഡം ഫ്രം ഓൾ കൈൻഡ്സ് ഓഫ് ഇല്യൂഷൻ. നിശ്ചല തത്വം, നിശ്ചല തത്വേ ജീവൻ മുക്തി. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ജീവൻ മുക്ത സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓർ ദ ലിബറേറ്റഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഫോർ എ ലിവിംഗ് എൻറ്റിറ്റി. ദ ലിബറേറ്റഡ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് വാട്ട് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്. സോ ദ സെയിം തിങ് ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് സ്പോക്കൺ ഇൻ എ ഡിവോട്ടി, ദിസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ എ ജ്ഞാനീസ് ലാംഗ്വേജ്. In a devotee's language, it is surrendering, self-surrender completely. We have discussed this before also in the 13th chapter. Tushnim bhavet sukhabhava anubhavo niriha, nija sukha anubhavo niriha, drishtim tada pravritta drishtim tushnim bhavet nija sukha anubhavo niriha. Krishna is saying there, isn't it? If you look into the 13th chapter, you will see there that drishtim tada pratinivritta nivritta trishne tushnim. ഭവേ നിജസുഖാനുഭവോ നിരീഹം. 35 verse 35 in the 13th chapter. ദൃഷ്ടിം തത പ്രതിനിവൃത്യ നിവൃത്ത തൃഷ്ണ തൂഷ്ണീം ഭവേ നിജസുഖാനുഭവോ നിരീഹ. സംദൃശ്യതേ കുജ യതീതം അവസ്ഥ ബുദ്ധ്യാ തെക്തം ഭ്രമായന ഭവേ സ്മൃതി ആനിപാദാത്. വെരി ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദി 13th chapter. Where Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, so many things Krishna mentions there. This is the discussion between the four Kumaras and the Krishna's appearance as the Hamsam, Swan. That discussion. And there he mentions there that Yo jagare bahiranikshana dharminorthan bhungte samastakarane yakati tal sadrikshan swapne sushuptam upasamharade samega smriti anvaya trigunavritti indriyesham. Then yo jagare bahir anishana dharminorthan, in the vacant state also, and one who is experiencing in the vacant state, continuously experiencing the world, which is constantly changing. The world is constantly changing, and that's what we are experiencing, isn't it? Constant change in everything in this creation, including the body, and still the mind is experiencing something from here. And similarly, in the dream state, whatever we have, swapne sushupta upasamharade samega, he says here, according to the vasanas what we have created in the vacant state, they appear in the dreams. They appear in the dreams. The vasanas appears in the dreams. And similarly, we enjoy those what we are experiencing in the world outside, inside us in the dream state. According to our vasana, we will pick those where our vasana attachment is there or vasana is there. Those topics of subjects of sense gratification will come appear in the dream. That's what Krishna is saying. The yojagare bahuranakshana dharminorthan bhungte samastakarane hridi tal sadrikshan, bhungte samastakarane hridi tal sadrikshan, that from by all indriyam, all senses, it will pull everything into the subtle body and it will appear in the dream and present it to us in the dream state. Swapne sushuptam upasamharade samega. So, and after doing all that, he goes to the deep sleep state and withdraws from everything, from the dream state and the vacant state. He pulls back from all that and goes to rest on his own. He's talking about the soul, soul's way of functioning inside. യോ ജാഗരേ ബഹുരനക്ഷണ ധർമ്മിനോർത്ഥാൻ ഭുങ്ക്തേ സമസ്തകരണേ ഹൃദിതൽ സദൃക്ഷാൻ സ്വപ്നേ സുഷുപ്തം ഉപസംഹരതേ സമേക. ഉപസംഹരതേ, ഉപസംഹാരം മീൻസ് കൺക്ലൂഡ്സ് എവറിഥിങ്, പുൾസ് ബാക്ക് ഫ്രം എവറിഥിങ്, ക്ലോസ് ഇറ്റ് ഡൗൺ, പുട്സ് ദ ഷട്ടർ ആൻഡ് ഗോസ് ടു റെസ്റ്റ് ഇൻ ദി ഡീപ് സ്ലീപ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. സ്മൃതി അന്വയ ത്രിഗുണവൃത്തി ത്രി ഇന്ദ്രിയേഷാം. ബട്ട് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ഹു ഡസ് ദാറ്റ്, ഹി ഈസ് ബിയോണ്ട് ദ ത്രീ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്സ്. And because he is in the three states, he remembers them, and he is alone, but he is only a witness of all the three states, and he is the controller of all the senses as well. to bring that clarity in our understanding of the soul. Krishna is saying this, that that person in the vacant state, who through the mind and the senses enjoys this world which is constantly changing, and all the bahur anukshanam dharminorthan, anukshanam, every moment it is changing, dharminorthan and dharmam, that he is experiencing there. Then, bhungte samastakarane hridital sadrukshan, and by all senses he pulls all the sense objects from this world inside and takes it to the dream state and enjoys it there in the dream state. And then he closes down both this world outside, vacant state and the dream state, and goes into the deep sleep state and rests there, giving up everything. And supne sushuptam upasamharade samega smriti anvaya trugunavritti indriyesha, smriti anvaya trugunavritti indriyesha. He is only this trigunavritti, that is called trigunavritti. This jagras sapnam sushupti is a trigunavritti, isn't it? Because the three modes of material nature is causing that. And he will experience that, and then he will withdraw from everything, because he is the controller of all the senses and the mind which is doing all that thing, that soul inside. And he mentioned also there that you will see evam vimarsha gunado manasastravastha manmayaya maikrida iti nischidartha samchidyahardam anumanasa ukti dishna jnana asina bhajadam akhila samshayadim. So Krishna says there to Kumaras that think like this, that the, because of the three modes of material nature, these three states have come. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is due to the three modes of material nature. That is very clear. Because of the Sattugunam is Jagradavastha, Rajogunam is the dream state or the Swapnavastha, and Tamogunam is the Sushupti Avastha or the deep sleep state. Those three states have come from the three modes of material nature. Then he mentions there, Icheda vibramamidam manaso vilasam drishtam vinashtamadilo alamalata chakram vijnanamegamuru deva vibhadi maya sapnastrida gunavisargakrado vigalpaham. So because when you see this world, Krishna is saying, because it is continuously changing, we don't notice it. Although it's changing, we don't notice it. And he gives the example here that Icheda vibramamidam manaso vilasam. World is nothing but a product of the mind, Krishna says. And because it is temporary, know very well, Krishna says to Uddhava, that this world is also a object, is nothing unlike, it's just like a dream. It's just like a dream. That drishtam vinashtam adilola vila alata chakram. That because it's constantly changing, it is like a alata chakram. Alata chakram means just like a shoot. If you set fire to it and you keep on rotating it in a hand, a flame, if you keep rotating it from outside, from a distance, someone looks at it, he will think there is a circle of flame, isn't it? If you keep rotating. So similarly, it is an alata chakram, he says here. Dushtam vinashtam, drishtam vinashtam, adilolam, alata chakram. Alata chakram. He says that because it is moving constantly, anyone who looks at it, he thinks it is continuously that flame existing. But actually the flame is not existing. What exists is, you are moving it in a circle. Alata chakram is a circle. Because you are moving it, that circle impression is created in us. So same way, material world is continuously changing. But the change is not noticed, because it's the change is so fast that we don't even recognize the change that's happening in the creation. In the creation. And then it is after that he mentions there, Vijnana megam urudeva vibhadi maya sapnastrida gunavisarga krito vigalpaham. Similarly, knowledge is only one. And that knowledge, Krishna is saying there, it appears to us in many ways. Krishna, as far as Krishna is concerned, knowledge is only one knowledge. And that knowledge is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is the word for that. And that spiritual knowledge is manifest in the form of material knowledge and in different branches. Just like we say, physics, chemistry, this, that and the other, so many branches of knowledge we have. For our convenience sake, we have given different titles to it. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is no different branches of knowledge. There is only one knowledge. And that knowledge because in our ajnanam state, avidya state, in ignorance, because we are unable to find that knowledge what Krishna is talking about, we tend to think like this, that there is so much knowledge and that's all got different branches, everything. This we have created that concept in our own ignorance. That's what it is. So deep-rooted is because of the way the mind works. If you want to understand the mind, it's always very interesting to look inside and see how the mind reacts. How the mind reacts to different situations. Sometimes you can see, like people, those who are totally atheistic, completely denying the existence of God, every time when they deny the existence of God, they are always thinking inside, does he exist? Does he exist? Outside they will say he doesn't exist. He has to keep proving that, isn't it? He has to continuously tell others he doesn't exist. So in order, while proving that to others that he doesn't exist, inside he is still doubting, does he exist? On the contrary, one who has faith in Krishna or faith in God, let us put it that way, even while he is paying his obeisances, he is thinking, does he exist? This is the mind. How the mind plays with us. As far as Krishna is concerned, both are in the same circle. One who believes in him or he doesn't believe in him. It doesn't matter. They're all in the same circle. That's the interesting thing. It is just that mind creates this illusion in us. The one who thinks that firmly that God doesn't exist, in his inside he is thinking, does he exist? Similarly, one who tells everybody he does exist, he pays his obeisances, he does everything, then he is thinking, does he exist? Am I wasting my time? This also happens within the same mind. Both these questions come up from the same mind. That is the way the mind is. So, is there any wonder when Krishna says to us that this illusion is such a powerful thing that combined with this mind, it creates such an illusion in us and we don't know what is the right thing. We think that in this present state of Jagrat state, what we consider ourselves to be, even in this Jagrat state, we do not know the reality. This is the fact. That is why self-realization is the only answer to come out of this ignorance, only come out of this ajnanam, avidya, as Krishna calls it. That is why he mentions there, vijnanamegam uru deva vibhadi maya sapna stritha triguna guna visarga krito vikalpaha. Krishna says here, vijnanamegam, there is only one knowledge. Uru deva vibhadi maya sapna stritha. Because of the presence of Maya, this one knowledge appears to us as though distributed as many branches of knowledge. What we call as knowledge in Shastram, it is not even knowledge, to tell the truth. Because our knowledge is based on all the matter, isn't it? How to manipulate the matter, that is our so-called knowledge. Mostly centered around that. How to go to moon or Mars or how to go underneath the sea or fly and all kinds of things. That is manipulation of the matter. As far as from the spiritual point of view, the existence of matter itself is a questionable thing, in the sense that matter is a very lower state of the spirit. Spirit in a very unrefined way is the matter. So from a very subtle point of view, matter has no value practically, because matter can also only function in the presence of the spirit. As the spirit soul is not inside, matter doesn't exist for us, isn't it? So such is the importance of the soul. So that's why it mentions here, vijnanamegam urudeva vibhadi maya sapna stritha guna visarga krito vikalpaha. What happens in the presence of Maya, these three modes of material nature, along with it gives us a feeling that there is so many branches of knowledge. Guna visarga krito vikalpam, and that creates vikalpam inside. Vikalpam means these thoughts, continuous thoughts that's coming through our mind. And it is after that, how to escape from that, that is what Krishna says in the next verse. Drishtim dadaprati nivritya nivritta tishnat tushnim bhave nija sukha anubhavo niriham സംദൃശ്യത്തെ കുചയതീതം അവസ്ഥബുദ്ധ്യ തെക്തം ഭ്രമായണ ഭവേത് സ്മൃതി ആനിപാത. സോ ദർഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് ദൃഷ്ടിം തത് പ്രതിനിവൃത്യ നിവൃത്ത തൃഷ്ണ ദാറ്റ് ടേക്ക് ഔ യുവർ അറ്റൻഷൻ അവേ ദൃഷ്ടി ദൃഷ്ടി ഫ്രം വെയർ പ്രതിനിവൃത്യ നിവൃത്ത തൃഷ്ണ സ്തൂഷ്ണീം ഭവേ ദാറ്റ് മിഥ്യാപ്രപഞ്ചം ദിസ് ഫോൾസ് വേൾഡ് വിച്ച് ഈസ് ഫോൾസ് ആക്ച്വലി ഫ്രം ദെയർ the attention should turn to the soul, to the soul. And at the same time, free from karmam, all kinds of activities, unnecessary activity, because karmam creates further entanglement and bondage in this world. Karmam pratinivrtya nivrta tishna tushnim bhaved nijasukhanu bhavo niriham. And samdrishyade kuchayadidam avastu buddhyam. So even if when one does that, the question will come, does he not have to eat then? Body will demand some food, isn't it? Body will demand some food. Krishna's point is that sam drishyate kojayadidam avastu buddhya. For some time, for some period of time, even if the body is asking something, you can supply that to the body. But finally, even that will go. That's the understanding. That Krishna is explaining that first attention should go away from the world. In other words, the importance of self-realization, Krishna is stressing again and again. That the soul is the only reality in this package. Everything else is a false thing. Body is false, mind is false, intelligence is false, the senses are false, and the world is false. In this whole mixture of things, what is real? If somebody asks, Krishna is saying only the soul is the real thing. Everything else is a false thing. When we say false, what it means is asat. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, asat. The rest of everything is asat. Don't put the attention on the asat. Turn the attention to the sat. That's what Krishna says. So that's exactly what he is saying here. How to do that? Drishtim dada pratinivrtya nivrtta tishna tushnim bhaven. That drishti should go away from the world. Desires must go from inside, and nijasukhani bhavo niriha, and without engaging in any activity in the elements inside, in other words, bring down the vyaharam to the very minimum, zero practically, and nijasukhani bhavo niriha, be situated on the platform of the soul. That's what he expects us to do. That's what is expected from us. Why? Because in the next chapter you have seen, through the process of Bhagavad Dharma, that's what Krishna is talking about, to come bring us to that state of consciousness, in other words. So you can see here that nija sukhanu bhavam, what Krishna mentions there, that is what in this verse the Alpanyarpidam Chittam means. Alpanyarpidam Chittam is that nija sukhanu bhavo niriha, what Krishna says in that verse. So so in this way, chittam should come to a standstill. No more movements inside. And if it surrenders there, then what happens? What will happen to the mind at that time? Mind, at this state, in this state, you are not sleeping and there is no chittavritti there either. Mind has got only these two things to do, isn't it? If you have a mind, which we all have, when the mind is there, these two things will happen. Sleep or chittavritti, or the thought waves coming continuously. So either mind is like that. Either it will think, it will engage in thinking something, or it will sleep. One of these two things mind will be doing all the time. Either it will think something or it will go to sleep. This is why people are getting good sleep when they chant, because of this. They get good sleep, isn't it? So only these two things people know about ourselves, about everybody. They know only these two things, that we get good sleep and so there's no harm in. Practically, sometimes chanting the holy name is used as a sleeping tablet in that way. So some others, satsangam is a sleeping tablet. Satsangam is a sleeping tablet. Sometimes people say, when I don't hear the classes, I don't get sleep. Now, in what sense it's spoken, I don't know. whether they're not getting sleep because they're used to hearing and getting a good sleep at that time, or in other words, opposite way also. Whichever way it is, sometimes people say like that. When I don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita for a couple of hours every week, I don't get sleep, they say. So whichever way it is, it doesn't matter. So, because mind's nature is like that, then it has nothing else to do, the mind, immediately it will go into the sleep mode. It will go into the sleep mode. So, therefore, here, this state what Krishna is talking about is not sleeping, at the same time, no thoughts inside either. No thoughts inside. So, this chitta vritti, what we have inside us, is like a disease. It's like a disease. Because chitta vritti, when chitta vritti stops, we go to sleep. When we wake up from the sleep, chitta vritti starts. Between these two things, the mind gets absorbed, either of them. And that will not allow us to see what we are, actually. Our real identity is covered by these two things. So that sleeping mode is called layam, dissolving itself. And if a state comes, there is no sleep, there is no layam, there is no chittavritti also happens. And you will see realized personalities, if you see, look at them in a physical plane, they are not sleeping and their eyes are wide open, and at the same time they have no thoughts inside either. It's empty inside. Empty inside. In that state they live in this world. They exist like that. No thoughts coming through and not sleeping either. Not sleeping either. So, which means that particularly there is no specifically any emotions inside or excitement, nothing like that. So, and that state is mentioned there as the final state of the yoga system. Yoga system, Krishna mentions here, that is the perfection of yoga process here. So, it does not mean it's a very intense state or anything. It's not a very intense state. So, the mind is there, but the only thing is, it's not going into sleeping mode, and it also, it is not the transcendental state either. It's not yet the transcendental state, but perfect state of Shanti inside. Shanti has come to him. In other words, you can call it as the peace without any effort. Effortless peace. So, if one feels a little effort inside to get that peace, it means that the pride is still there. This pride inside, ahankaram inside, it has a very, very subtle movement inside. If there is still an effort to get to peace. It's a natural state, in other words, when one comes to that state. It's a very natural state. So, if there is no slightest effort of movement inside the mind, that means the ahankaram or false ego is completely gone and perfect peace has gone inside. Prakash come inside. So, so in that state, neither you think nor you sleep. There is a natural silence inside. And that silence is what Krishna is saying here, that Atmanya Arpitam Chittam. In the 25th verse, you will see that word. Atmanya Arpitam Chittam. Shantam Satoba Brahmhidam. These are all the state at that, what happens at that time. It is full of Sattvagunam. It is in perfect Shanti. And Atmanya Arpitam Chittam. That means that natural silence inside. No thoughts coming through. And also there is no sleep either. Perfect Shanti inside. Perfect Shanti inside. Because that chittam which has been surrendered to the Atma, that is what the word Krishna is using there. Atmani arpitam chittam. Arpitam means you offered your mind to the soul. Arpitam. Arpanam means to offer it. Yad Atmani arpitam chittam shuddham satopa brahmhidam, he says. It is fully it will come and Sattugunam will come and fill up the chittam. That is the state, what happens. In that particular state, in Alpanyarpitam Chittam, what happens? Krishna is saying, Suddham, Shuddham, Satuoba Brahmidam. Satugunam will come and fill up that chittam inside. What will happen? Then Krishna says, when Satugunam comes and fills inside, Dharmam, Aishwaryam, Jnanam, Vairagyam, Chavipadyade. See that? Krishna is saying, once that state comes, then you don't have to tell him what is dharmam. Whatever he does will be dharmam. That's how it is. You see, we think that everything we have to train. It's not training as such. What happens? Through process of realizing the truth, all impurities leaves from inside and Sattugunam fills up, and anything happens at that point after that will be perfect. There will be perfect dharmam. Dharmam will not be, you don't have to tell him the regulative principles and all other kinds of rules and regulations to him. You don't have to teach him etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette and all that kind of things. You don't have to teach anything. This is madness. You don't teach, due to lack of realization of the self, that is the process. Either through knowledge or through bhakti, purification must happen. And as Alpanyarpitam Chittam Shuddham Satoba Brahmidam, Satugunam will come and fill inside. And then you don't have to study in a course or seminar about how to behave in this world. Whatever you do in this world, it will be perfect. Because already the impurities have gone away from inside. Why do we need all these courses? Because it's full of ragadvesham inside. So courses will tell you that you do like this, you do like that. How should I be humble? How should I be puffed up? All these kind of things you have to learn in the course. So you can see the foolishness of the whole thing. Yad Alpanya Arpidam Chittam, when the Chittam has surrendered to Alma, the soul inside, Shuddham, it becomes pure. The tendency of the mind to wander away has gone. Once that goes away, and there is no movement inside, it becomes pure. Satoba Brahmidam, Satugunam will come and fill inside. Once Satugunam fills inside, whatever then he does will be Dharmam, Jnanam, Aishwaryam, Chavipadyade. Krishna is saying there. Whatever he does, it will be dharmam. He doesn't have to be told what is dharmam. And his knowledge is perfect. Jnanam will be there. Vairagyam will be there. Aishwaryam will be there. Chabipadyade. It doesn't have to come from anywhere else. It's already there. So, Sattugunam, this Sattugunam will come at that point inside. Shuddham Sattuba Brahmidam. That is how Sattugunam comes in a person. So, he doesn't have to tell, whatever he does is dharmam. And actually, he will be the authority of dharmam then, whatever he say. Because dharmam is a very difficult thing to understand, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam also, in different places in the Bhagavatam, dharmam is defined in different ways. This is the difficulty with dharmam. Dharmastu sakshal bhagaval pranidam. In the Bhagavatam, in one place, in the sixth canto says, Nave devidu krishayo nabideva na siddha vidya asura anushya kudascha vidyadra charanadaya. Nobody understands dharmam. What is dharmam? If somebody asks the question, what is dharmam? It's a very difficult thing to explain. Explain that. Dharmam can vary from one person to another. For dharmam for a man and a woman is different. For a mother and a child is different. For Brahmana and Kshatriya is different. Vaishya and Shudra is different. Rajadharmam is different. Dharmam is different for different people. And in a complex society like us, if somebody asks what is a dharmam, very difficult to say. In many instances we have that difficulty to tell exactly what the right thing is. The dharmam is, isn't it? So, but a person who has realized this state, Krishna is saying here, whatever he does will be dharmam. He won't go because Shuddham Satoba Brahmidam, purely mode of goodness inside. So whatever karmam he performs in that state, in a natural way, it will come and stay within the dharmam. It will not break the rules of dharmam anywhere. So, you can also think in another way, how does adharmam does, how does one does the opposite of dharmam, adharmam? How does one, why does one does adharmam? Because of lust, because of desires, because of anger, because of greed, and things like that, isn't it? Or competition, or pride, all such things. When those things are inside in a person, whatever he does will be tend to happen to be adharmam. It is always adharmam. When all these things are inside, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsayam, lust, anger, greed, and all other impurities inside, when they are there, everything what we do will be adharmam. What will be adharmam. So, wherever we have ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion is there, it is at that time, that's when adharmam comes. That is when adharmam comes. So, you can see here, once the mind has taken that peaceful mode, once the mind has taken the peaceful mode, shanti state comes here. So, if these two things are not there, that means ragadvesham is not existing anymore in a person, in that state, then whatever he does will be dharmam. There is no possibility of any adharmam happening at that stage from him. Because dharmam is our natural state. Dharmam is our natural state, not adharmam. Adharmam is our contaminated state. Dharmam is our natural state. So, dharmastu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. So, when a person is situated on the platform of dharmam, he naturally becomes a very powerful force in the hands of the material nature. That's what happens. In the hands of the material nature. So, actually the mind is what pulls us away from the material nature. You can see, although we say we association with the modes of nature and all that, practically most of the time we live in our mind, isn't it? We live in our mind. We live in this world, or we can say we live in different places, but strictly speaking, we live in our mind. Mind is the one which is driving everything. It drives this body, it drives intelligence, and it makes decisions, and it keeps us going in this world, this thing called mind, is it not? So we know ourselves, if we look carefully, you can see connection with the world is very little. We think that we have a connection with this world, but actually whole connection is here itself, inside the mind. That's where the whole strong knot is inside there. So here he says here, so this mind, what it does is, it creates division inside. It creates division inside. So while this mind comes to that perfection state, that shanti inside, it comes inside, that is the actually chit-shakti. Because from chit-shakti, the mind comes and creates division in this world. We give all namarupam, they call it. Namarupa vihaya, names and forms. All names and forms becomes important when the mind is there. Mind gives importance to different names, different forms. The Shastram uses this word namarupam. Namam rupam, name form. This is important for the mind. Mind can only relate in that way. Name and form is important for the mind. Whereas in our pure state, when there is no mind, name and form has no value. Name and form has no value, isn't it? Why we give importance to name and form? Because we got used to it with our mind. Isn't it? How you look, how you talk, how you walk, how you move, all these kind of things is based on the name and the form. It's on the name and form. So, when that mind is fully refined and purified, in its most subtle form, what is known as the sushmam, most subtle form, it is the chit shakti. It is chit shakti. And when that thing, it takes responsibility, this mind, when it comes out of the chit shakti and it starts taking responsibility for the body, for the intelligence, for the senses and everything, and when it comes directly from the chit shakti, what it does is only dharmam can happen. But when this chit shakti, from chit shakti the mind has come, when the mind is completely mixed with all other impurities like kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, malsaryam, ragam, dvesham, all these kinds are inside. That is the way the mind functions, which creates division here. It creates division here. Division means that this is good, this is bad. This is right, this is wrong. A kind of separation happens in the creation. In the creation, it creates separation. In the creation. And that is such a powerful force inside that we are finding it difficult to escape from that, isn't it? Finding it difficult to escape from that. If you observe the realized soul, how they behaved, they had no difficulty in dealing. They saw the men, the human species, the animals, all of them in the same platform. Because for them, name and form is not important. Name and form is not important. As far as they are concerned, the animals are entitled for spiritual knowledge as much as the human species is. Human species are. There are many great devotees who used to talk Srimad Bhagavatam to the plants and the trees and the animals. Because as far as they are concerned, that this difference between we are human species, a higher level, and they are on a lower level, this is coming from mind. It's not coming from the Shastram. That different species exist. In everywhere the soul is present. And mind is not responsible for spiritual life either. It happens because it's directly transmitted from the consciousness to the other living entity. There is a story about jackfruit trees getting liberated. In the case of a devotee, he used to read Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and there were two jackfruit trees standing next to him. One night, in a strong wind, both the jackfruit trees fell. And these jackfruit trees fell. He didn't know about it. In the morning when he woke up, because it was very heavy thunder and rain in the whole night, next morning he saw both the jackfruit trees lying, both of them. He thought probably it is due, but he used to sit next to them and read Bhagavatam there every day. For a long period of time, he used to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So in one instance, what happened was that after many years, one day, these two jackfruit trees has taken their form from the Vaikuntham and came to see him. And told him that we have come to thank you for what you have done to us. So that is a different higher state of understanding. That he didn't think at that time while reading Srimad Bhagavatam that these two, thinking that the jackfruit trees are going to get liberated, but it so happened that way. And they came to him, talking to him that we have come to take you back to the spiritual world. So these are in the history. But the important point here is that the dharmam, that this chit-shakti inside, sata chitta anandam, isn't it? The chitta is the knowledge side. From there the mind has come. And that mind takes control of this body, control of the senses, and it starts controlling everything, and that's what we are going on at the moment in us. The mind is controlling everything, our life all the time. And we are acting along with that. Whatever mind dictates, we do it. We have no freedom there, isn't it? Yadevi sarvabhudeshu manorubena samsthita. Namastase namo nama. That's what it is. That powerful force, she who is inside in the form of mind and who is driving us all the time one direction or the another, although we are not conscious of that, we think I am doing everything, but it's the mind who is doing everything. Whatever mind tells us, we go and do it. Whatever it may be, good or bad, doesn't matter. And mind decides everything, mind controls everything. So here, Krishna says here that when that chit-shakti directly takes control without the presence of the mind, then whatever he does will be dharmam. Whatever he does will be dharmam. Naturally, jnanam, knowledge will be there. In a natural way, it will be present there. Vairagyam also in the same way. Renunciation will be there in a natural way. And no attachment anywhere, no aversion anywhere. No aversion anywhere. Who has said this? Gopis have said this. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see itararaga vismaranam nrinam. In the Gopiya Gitam, which is in the 10th canto, you will see there in the chapter 31. 31 chapter, you will see there, itararaga vismaranam runam adhara veeranaste adhara amrutam. That is verse number 14 in verse chapter 31, verse 14. Suryadavardhanam shoganashanam swaridavenuna sushtu chumpidam itararaga vismaranam nranam vidaraveeranaste adharamrutam. Suryadavardhanam shoganashanam swaridavenuna sushtu chumpidam itararaga vismaranam nranam vidaraveeranaste adharamrutam. Gopis are saying to Krishna that with that flute, when you play that flute, what happens? We are enjoying that adharamrutam, the saliva from Krishna's mouth. The gopis have tasted that. And gopis are saying here that swarida venuna sushtu chumbidam, that flows through that flute which has touched Krishna's lips. Swarida venuna sushtu chumbidam. Itararaga vismaranam nranam. At that point, what will happen is all attachment leaves. Itararagam. Itararaga vismaranam nranam. That is the result of that. All ragam, gopis are saying, all attachment is gone to the everything in this world. To everything in this world. So they are saying that all attachment is gone on its own without any effort. Without any effort. So in a direct way to talk about that, gopis are saying that while the mind has gone to Krishna and staying with Krishna, vairagyam or renunciation has come to them in a natural way. And these qualities, what gopis are saying here is aishwaryam, opulences, and all six qualities of Krishna. What are they? Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya shriya jnanam vairagyam. Six of them. Aishwaryam, viryam, yashasya shri jnanam vairagyam. This is Krishna's opulences, isn't it? That's why Krishna is called Bhagavan. Bhagavan comes from these six opulences. Aishwaryam, viryam, yashasya shri jnanam vairagyam. Vairagyam is renunciation. Jnanam is knowledge. Yashasya is fame. Aishwaryam is opulences, everything. Viryam is the heroic nature in that. Yes, Aishwarya is a samagrasya, virya is a yashasya, shri. Shri means all the opulences. Beauty, saundaryam also. So all these opulences naturally come to that person. Naturally come to that person. That's why Gopi said, itararaga vismaranam nranam adharaveeranaste adharamrutam. Says here. So when the mind goes away and stands near Krishna, near the soul, in other words, or goes to Chit Shakti and get itself lost in that process, the mind walks out, and only pure Chit Shakti is operating from inside instead of the mind. Pure Chit Shakti is operating. At that time, all these six qualities will be present in him. To a degree, it will be present in that person. So, that is what I'm saying. These six qualities, that is why for realized souls, all the siddhis, what we, Aishwarya Siddhi they call it, isn't it? We discussed that in another chapter earlier, that all that opulences will be present in that person in a natural way. All the siddhis are present in the material nature. They are present in the material nature. So, in other words, if necessary, when that false ego leaves us, that is the whole thing that's causing the problem, that false ego inside, then any siddhi, it is possible to operate that siddhi in this world. That is what the way siddhi works. The jnani siddhi and the yogi siddhi is a little different. Jnana siddhi and yoga siddhi, they are two different things. The same siddhi operates in two different levels through a jnani and a yogi. For Ashtanga Yogam, they achieve siddhis in one way, which Krishna spoke about earlier, through the process of dharana. Remember that chapter? 15th or 16th chapter, it was, in the 11th canto. There was a discussion about siddhis. Remember? I think it was 15th. 15th chapter. So, different forms of the yoga siddhi. That's what it was. Different forms of the yoga siddhi. Ashtanga yoga siddhis. We talked about that. And at the end, Krishna says, don't fall for it. So, there we have seen that Krishna mentions there, all these siddhis, Uddhava, are a waste of time. They are not going to help in spiritual life. And these same siddhi will manifest in a jnani also. In a jnani also the same siddhis will come. But jnani, because he knows that siddhis are only obstacles in his path of going back to the spiritual world or self-realization, he will discard them. You can see this in the case of Rishabhadev. What happened to Rishabhadev? You know that in the 5th canto of the story of Rishabhadev, all the siddhis came to him at the time of leaving the body. All the siddhis came and they wanted to serve him. He was realized his soul, you see. He was leaving the world and he saw this big forest fire and he wanted to enter into that and give up his body from there. And he used to walk around with a stone in the mouth, biting the stone to keep that so that he doesn't have to talk nonsense. So kept that mouth like that and he wanted to enter into the fire and give up his body. So while he was going to give up his body, all the Aishwarya Siddhis took a form, a feminine form. They came and stood in front of him. He asked them, who are you? One of them said, my name is Anima. Another one said, my name is Mahima. A third one said, my name is Leghima. Fourth one said, my name is Garima. Like this, Anima, Mahima, Leghima, Garima, all different names, which are the ones discussed in that chapter 15, Aishwarya Siddhi. So when they all came and stood there and told Rishabhadev, that we want to offer you some service. Rishabhadev said, I don't need any service from you. So, if you don't leave this place immediately, I'm going to curse and burn you into ashes, he said. So, frightened of that, they left the place and ran away from there. But while leaving, they left some Aishwarya Siddhis there, informed that when he got entered into the fire and the body started burning, the whole place was surrounded with a very beautiful, very, very nice smell of the body, while the body, like when Putana got burned, the whole place was smelling very nice, isn't it? So, in the Bhagavadam, that is an important thing in the sense that this Rishabhadev's departure from this world was so glorious that Aishwarya Siddhis could not do anything. He didn't want anything to do with them, knowing well that they'll cause problem for him. He wanted to stay away from, because it is easily to get attracted to that, isn't it? Krishna says, Kalakshapana Hedava. If something comes to you, and if you are in serious trouble in this world to live, you can use them to collect some money from people. Aishwarya Siddhi. That is, Krishna considers them as worth. That some Aishwarya Siddhi, if you show it to people, they'll think that, oh, you have some supernatural power. And they'll follow you and they'll give you some money for exhibiting that power. Is it not? Many, many devotees have suffered due to this. Because once it comes, it's a very powerful attraction to jnani or a devotee also. You get attracted by that and you get trapped in that. It's a very strong allurement. Very strong allurement. So that is why Krishna warned there in that 15th chapter, Uddhava, don't look into that direction at all. And jnani's case, Aishwarya Siddhi comes to him in a natural way because of the realization of the self. But, and these siddhis will start operating without his own knowledge. And that's when when you get trapped into that. Remember that story I mentioned on the Yoga Vasishtam, that this very famous Brahmana, Kaushitaki Brahmana he was, he sat underneath the tree and was performing meditation. A crow fell over, flew over, and by chance it passed the stool and fell on his head. When it fell on his head, he got so angry and looked at the crow. The crow got burned into ashes and fell there. Brahmana thought, this is not bad. I look at someone, he is merely burned into ashes. So he goes then, he realized that this siddhi has come into him. But he could not escape from that. That became his strength. He took all control of that siddhi. And then he started going to different places. We mentioned that before. He was asking for food. He went to a lady's house. And the lady told him that, don't think that I am a crow, that who will burn into ashes like that. The Brahmana got a shock of his life. That how does he know that this, how does she know that this has happened? Because that Jnani, she is a Jnani. And Jnani had the Siddhi in her to see what was happening elsewhere. When Jnani's capacity was, when this person, Brahmana came, she looked at him and she could see, she could read the whole mind inside of this Brahmana. And that's why she sensed this. This Brahmana had come after this experience there, and inside these thoughts are going through in him. That's how subtle they were, each other. So subtle level they could talk to each other. And she tells him, she tells the Brahmana that, I have no time to talk to, I am busy, my husband is here, I got things to do for him, but I'll send you to someone, go and see him, and he will instruct you about the truth. And send him to Dharmavyadha. That story of Dharmavyadha in the Bhagavatam. Mahabharatam, the story is there. Krishna mentions about Dharmavyadha in the Bhagavatam. And when he goes there, the Brahmana goes there, Dharmavyadha is a butcher, he is cutting the meat in the street, in his shop. And he couldn't believe that he is the person who is going to instruct me on spiritual life. That's what he thought, this Brahmana is thinking like that. When he got there, he saw Dharmavyadha comes out and says to him, you have come to see me, haven't you? He said. He said, yes, I was looking for Dharmavyadha. He says, I am Dharmavyadha, he says. He introduces himself like this. This Brahmana was hesitant to go to that area because it's full of meat and, you know. So, naturally he was refraining to go in there, but everybody told Dharmavyadha lives there. That's where his shop is. This directed him there. And Dharmavyadha takes him and instructs him on higher knowledge of the soul to him. He receives instructions from Dharmavyadha. Krishna is saying, Dharmavyadha became like this because he executed Bhagavata Dharmam. He did all what he has to do with the body, but he was in Krishna consciousness all the time. This is the, Krishna has quoted all these persons to us to tell us that Bhagavata Dharmam and Krishna consciousness is independent of what we do in this life, in this body. Due to prarabdham, something has come. Dharmavyadha had to go through that body. That doesn't matter. But Krishna says here that even they got back to the spiritual world. So, here, every siddhi practically is a perversion. Is a perversion. So, therefore, Jnani knows this very well. So, he won't have any interest in that. He won't have any interest in that. But if he wants something to happen, it will happen for him. And he can get things done if he wants it. But normally, they won't be interested in that kind of siddhis. So, that's why in the Dakshinamurti Sotram, it will mention about this. That Swad Isharatval Sada Siddhe Epyad. Even Isharatvam. Isharatvam means controlling nature. Ishvara is the controller. How to control things. Two people are talking at a law of 10,000 miles away. Some people are having a conversation. Sitting here, you could hear that conversation. That kind of siddhi. And so many things like that. Controlling others' mind from outside. Others' way of thinking. Things like that. This is all Ishwaratvam. This is all Swad Ishwaratval Sada Siddhyet. In a natural way, all these things comes to him. So, actually, you can see that he is a force in the Prakriti, in the material nature. That in Prakriti, That means the powerful material nature, which is a strong force here, which we don't see but which operates all the time, he becomes a force in the hands of the Prakriti, in the material nature. So, so whatever material nature wants, it will get it done through that person. It will get it done through that person, whatever it is necessary. And if it doesn't want anything, it doesn't need anything to do. It won't be doing anything. So, in other words, in a natural way, that controlling force, which is called Ishwaratvam, or controlling nature, will be there in him. So, Krishna says, when the mind goes away to the world outside, and got busy with the senses, Rajaswalamja Sannishtam, you see that in the 26th verse, Yadarpidam Tadyugalpam Indriyai Paridhavati Rajaswalam Jasam Nishtam Chittam Vidhi Vibhayayam. So in the last verse, Krishna mentioned there, when Sattvagunam builds up inside, what happens? That is the last verse. Shuddham Sattvoba Brahmhidam, he mentioned in the last verse, isn't it? In this verse, Krishna is saying what happens when Rajogunam builds up inside. When Rajogunam goes and fills inside, Krishna is saying, Yadarpidam Tadvigalpam Indriyai Paridhavati Rajaswalam Jasannishtam Chittam Vidhi Viparyayam. That's important. That means once the Rajogunam goes and fills inside, what will happen is that he will always think that Rajogunam disturbs the Chittam. It creates disturbances inside. And Krishna calls it as that it starts imagining various things, and Krishna calls it as Viparyayam. Viparyayam means opposite way. In the opposite way. So, in other words, the Rajogunam, once it goes inside, intelligence develops what is known as Vibhranti. Vibhranti means that those who do not know what is bhakti, shraddha, or knowledge of the soul, one who doesn't have all that, even such a person, that means once who have got these things, one who understands a little bit, not in a very higher level, little bit of bhakti, little bit of jnanam, knowledge, little bit of vairagyam, little bit of shraddha, one who has got all these things is different than the others who are in the rajogunam. So that is what we call it as, that one who doesn't have that. These qualities create what is known as sacredness in a person, isn't it? A feeling of sacredness in someone. So, that person who doesn't have any of these things, Krishna is saying here, he is more or less like a mental patient. He's a mental patient, because he has to be treated. Otherwise, it is a serious disease what he has got. It is gone. So, in other words, one who has no goal of life, in living in this world without any specific goal, and that mind which doesn't have any proper goal of life, it will create a lot of problems in this world. It will create a lot of problems in this world. That's what Krishna is saying here. Yad arpitam vigalpam tad vigalpam indriyai paridhavati rajaswalam chasam nishtam chittam vidhi viparyayam. Chittam vidhi viparyayam. Because he will never have shanti inside at any time, and eating and sleeping will be the only thing what he will do here. Just like we talked about charvagas yesterday, isn't it? Charvagas says that even if you don't have money, borrow and then eat well and sleep well, isn't it? So charvagan is the first step before entering into the spiritual life, Because you can see, looking at ourselves, we are even not reached the charvaga state. Even charvaga is those people who believes in that. They say, we don't know what will happen after death. Do you know? Have you seen? They will ask this question. So when we are here, at least let's enjoy, eat nicely and sleep well, and be happy. Why worry about everything else in this world? If you don't have money, borrow from others. Don't pay back, and just live comfortably in this world. That's the most important thing. Who knows there is a life after death? They will ask such questions. Only if you are worried, we are worried that, oh, next, if I don't pay back, next life I'll have to come back and pay it back to him. That's one way of looking at it. But if you feel that there is no life after death, my money is my money, your money is also my money. That theory will come in then, isn't it? So, such people who are doing, you can see some people who do such things all the time, isn't it? Cheating, lying, borrowing and escaping, and sometimes people do all sorts of things. From one continent they escape to another continent, doing something here. And then they get extradited back here and brought back. So much thing happens in their life. If you ask him, why did you do all these things? He also doesn't know why he has done it. This happens every time. In every country it's happening. All the time. People doing some kind of scandal. And they will escape from the country, go somewhere else and live 10-15 years somewhere else. And some slowly the things will catch up, you'll get caught and brought back again. And then the police and the law takes its own course, then he goes into prison, stays there for many years. If you ask him, why did you do all these things? He has no answer. He just doesn't know, he has done it, that's all. It's purely because of what Krishna is saying here, that rajasulam cha sannishtam chittam vidhi vibhayayam. That's the way it have to, we understand that. Why he has done it? No answer. That rajasulam cha sannishtam chittam vidhi vibhayayam. It was not based on any reasoning or logic or anything. Something has prompted him to do it and he has done it, that's all. So, here, charvagas are in the same state. Because why we say that charvagas are better than us? Charvaga at least enjoy this life. And we are even not able to do that because we are so busy in life. That's why it's mentioned like that. So you can see that sometimes people are traveling, they are on the mobile phone, holding the steering, other hand sandwich, eating the sandwich, they are driving the car and going to work, rushing everywhere. So even to sit and peacefully have a proper breakfast, they're finding it difficult. Is it not? So you can see that what situation we are in compared to the charvagas. Charvagas at least they live well, they eat well and they sleep well. So that's the difference. So anyway, they are saying that you look after your health and keep your body well and enjoy as long as you can. So charu vacham iti that is how they get this word charvagam. Charvagam means charu vacham, who speaks very nicely, that attracts people to that. So charvaga philosophy. So here the senses which are agitated senses, because of that chittam gets agitated. When the senses are agitated, chittam gets agitated, and that is what is called vikalpam. That's what is called vikalpam. That word used in Bhagavatam is vikalpam. Use that word. Rajasulam jasam nishtam chittam vidhi vibhajayam yad arpidam tad vikalpam. That vikalpam is that. Vikalpam is that thing. So, dharmam, what is dharmam? If you ask that question, the answer to that, as far as Krishna is concerned, is that whichever way you live in this world, if it's creating bhakti in the heart, that is dharmam. That is the simple way of looking at it. That if we live a life in this world which creates bhakti inside, that is dharma. That is dharma. So, that is Krishna's definition. Krishna's definition is like that. You will see in the next verse. That's where we were at. 27. See how Krishna defined dharmam. Dharmo mal bhakti kral prokto jnanam jai galpmya darshanam guneshu asango vairagyam Aishwaryam Chanimadaya. Dharmo mal bhakti kral prokto jnanam jai galpmya darshanam guneshu asango vairagyam Aishwaryam Chanimadaya. Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, Shastram says, Krishna says, that whatever you do in this world, if it is creating bhakti inside, that is dharmam. That is the way dharmam to be understood. You see, look at Krishna's definition. If you go from now on, everything what we have thought about in a particular thing, truthfulness, renunciation, opulences, and tyagam, shauryam, so many things Uddhava is going to ask from now on. And if you look at Krishna's definition of that, And our concept at the moment, you will see they are different. They are very different. We will say what is our dharmam. We will either think varnashrama dharmam, if you in a very refined way, or otherwise we will say this is my duty, what we call as duty in this world, isn't it? That's my dharmam, I have to do this duty, and that's the way we see it. Krishna is saying none of them is dharmam. Dharmam is, as far as Krishna is concerned, mal bhakti krit. Whatever that develops bhakti in the heart of anyone, that is his dharmam. If bhakti is not developing, you keep saying devotional service, but and do a lot of things. But if it's not developing bhakti inside, what is the use? That's the principle. Dharmam madbhakti krit proktam. Similarly, jnanam jai galma darshanam. What is knowledge? Krishna says in the next thing. So, so the one definition, there are many definitions in the Bhagavadam for dharmam. In another, here Krishna says like this, dharmam malbhakti krit proktam. In another place, in the Krishna says, Sri Brahmashi says there, dharmostu sakshal bhagaval pranidam. Na devi du shayo nabhi deva. Nobody understands dharmam. Yamadharma Raja understands dharma. He is called Dharma Raja, who understands dharma. But when Nachiketa asked Yamadharma Raja about dharma, he didn't answer also specifically about it. So it is a difficult principle, this thing of dharma, to properly define that. It is very difficult. But so, dharmosu sakshal bhagaval pranidam, Bhagavadam says like that. So Krishna has set up a rule in this world, in the material nature, which is known as rhythm. Rhythm. It is from this word. In the material nature, the English word rhythm has come. Rhythm has come from this rhythm. Rhythm is the word in the Shastra. That rhythm. Rhythm means in the nature, everything stays in a particular rhythm, isn't it? Like change, seasons changing, sun rising, and sun setting, and weather changing, weather pattern changing. All these kinds, these are not happening by our arrangement, isn't it? It's not in our control, any of these things, weather pattern or we, what we do is we call all the leaders of the call countries and sit together and make a meeting and have a good time. They say we are discussing the global weather or global conditions. Somebody else is controlling everything. These people who meet together, they have no idea about anything, what's going on. But anyway, all these things are happening. There is a rhythm in that. It comes from the Sanskrit word rhythm. So that rhythm, Krishna says here, that dharmam is based on, that is rhythm, he says, the krita satya netram krita satya almagam tvam sharanam pravana. When that satyam knows that rhythm, satyam is Krishna. Satyam knows the rhythm. Remember, when Brahma came to glorify Krishna in the Garbhastuti in the Bhagavadam, Satyavradam Satyaparamja Satyam Satyasya Satyam Krita Satya Netram. That Krita Satya Netram, rhythm. That is the rhythm. Krita Satya Netram. That Satyam knows the rhythm. What the rhythm is. The rhythm is. So, Krita Satya Netram. So, rhythm is this rhythm. Is the beat of the material nature. If you consider material nature as prakriti, as a musical concert, in musical concert there is a what they call thalam, isn't it? Or the beat. Yeah, the beats, yeah. The beat. The beat is there. According to that, it is working. This musical concert of this material nature is going on according to a particular rhythm. It is working. Sometimes rhythm may a little bit change and we get upset, but rhythm is there. In the material nature, there is a rhythm. So, so when we move away from that rhythm, and we are also part of this material nature as long as we have a material body. We can't run away from that. We live according to that rhythm of the material nature, then everything will be in a balance in us also. But when you lose that rhythm, you lose everything. You lose everything. You find disturbed at that time. Is it not? Suppose you can see sometimes due to various reasons people cannot sleep at night. They'll work the whole night and during the day they will sleep. Many hours they'll sleep and the whole night they'll be working. When you keep doing that over a long period of time, you are stepping out of that rhythm. rhythm of the, because material nature's arrangement is it comes dark at night, you are supposed to rest at that time, and in the morning when you wake, when the sun comes out, you are supposed to get up and function. But if you make it exactly opposite to that, when you live in that way, you are changing the rhythm of that nature, of the natural way of life. Similarly, everything else also, all our work in this world, everything according to rhythm it should function. So, in the classical concerts, Carnatic music and Hindustani music also, in Carnatic music it's a little bit more rigid than in the Hindustani music, there is what they call it as Shruti and Layam, or Thalam they call it. These are their terminology what they use. I don't know what the English equivalent for that is. So in there, Thalam can change, the beats can change, but Shruti doesn't change all the time. Everything when they sing, Shruti has to stay the same throughout the song when it is sung. So in two dimensions it's operating, and that's what it's, Shruti should never change, and Thalam, or that what is known as the beats, that should not go wrong completely, but it will change. In the concert, it will change according to the ragam, what they are singing with the particular kirtanam, it will change. But Shruti won't change, because ragam is changed, ragam, the thalam will change, the ragam or the beats will change. So, Krishna is saying here, if you look into the 16th verse, Adavandeja Madhyeja Srijyal Srijyam Yadanyuyan Punarstal Pradisam Krami Yachisheta Tadevasan. So, Adavandeja Madhyeja Srijyal Srijyam Yadanyuyan Punarstal Pradisam Krami Yachisheta Tadevasan. Krishna says, in the beginning, in the middle, and in all times, what leads, it stays in the background of everything. Srijyal srijyam is anvayat, punastal pradesam krame yakshisheda tadevasat. Krishna says that everything in this creation takes birth, comes and gets itself destroyed and goes away. But behind that, that was that soul who was present there. Was soul present there? It is in the soul everything has happened. Because body, intelligence, the mind, false ego, if you reject all these things, if you take them out, all of these things, and there is something what is left which you cannot throw it away anymore. And that thing, that chitshakti, that is known as the chitshakti or the soul's presence inside. That is how in the Jnanamargam they talk about the soul. That the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything you have to write it off. Reject them or discard them one after the other. Mano buddhi ahankara cittani naham. I am not the mind, I am not the body, I am not the intelligence, I am not the ego. That's how it goes. Mano buddhi ahankara cittani naham. I am none of them. Then that, who am I? What is left? That is the soul. What is it? That's how to define the soul, because there's no other way to explain the soul. So that soul, Chitshakti, which is present inside, which is sensed by us in the form of awareness, isn't it? We are aware of that. That means that our presence in this world, we are experiencing. I exist. I am aware. My awareness. That is, that awareness is called bodham, or bodham. That recognizing that is the shruti. That is shruti. Shruti. So, when you give attention to shruti there, it will give, what do they call, that it will naturally, if the attention is there, your beats won't go faulty. Your beats won't go faulty. Because that's the only way to explain these things, in the sense that in the musical concert, those who are used to those terminologies, it's easier. Shruti exists and there is Talam or Layam, whatever they address that. So, even good musicians who knows the rules regarding the classical music, when they sing, they have to make sure that Shruti doesn't get any time changed. Talam can, or the ragam will change from different songs, it will change. But the, what do they call the beats, that will also change, but according to the ragam they follow, they will change. So, but at the same time, madarte anga cheshtaja, Krishna says here, that in that rhythmic way of living in this world, Krishna says will help to develop these qualities in a person. That is why it is stressed that the sages, they wanted to be with the nature and to be in tune with the nature, in other words, to be in tune with the nature. So if we have, if we live a life without disturbing that external world a lot, that is known as dharmam. So dharmam means that the knowledge of the soul inside, without shaking that or without disturbing that and staying in that state of the spiritual awareness all the time and executing your activities in this world, that is called dharma. I don't know, I have spoken long time, but I don't know whether it made any sense. The spiritual awareness or consciousness is important first. So always being conscious of that spiritual identity, that in on a spiritual platform to operate, but at the same time executing our activities of the body and other things in this world without causing any disturbances inside of our spiritual awareness. That is called dharma. In other words, Shruti in the music is that Shruti inside Vedam, what is what one has to maintain. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, so if you compare the life in this world as a musical concert, and in that musical concert, how the Shruti is there, the Shruti in life also is based on this self knowledge of the self. Based has to be based on the knowledge of the self, because in the background, this is required. Otherwise, without that background, if we function without any consideration, what will happen? What will happen is the whole thing will go out of control. All out of control. So, so dharma madbhaktikrit, he gave the definition Krishna here. Isn't it? Dharma malbhaktikrit prokto. So, in other words, what is dharma means? Krishna says to them, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, live in such a way, whichever way it is, doesn't matter, in which way you will live, ultimately you will realize the truth. That is dharma. Earlier he said, dharma madbhaktikrit prokta. Whichever way you will live, it should develop bhakti in the heart. Bhakti in the heart. In other words, whichever way you live, whatever way that has to be done, the life should be adjusted in such a way that ultimately bhakti should develop, self-realization must happen. Then that is dharmam. That's the way Krishna sees dharmam here. So, see, these definitions are spoken for various reasons. It's not that Krishna is always changing his words. No. We may say jnana margam, bhakti margam, yoga margam, any margam, doesn't matter. So, Krishna's point is, whether you follow jnana margam, yoga margam, bhakti margam, doesn't matter. If you are experiencing the soul at the end, yoga anubhavam, the result is self-realization, then you are perfect. There's nothing wrong in there. That's the way Krishna puts in there. Jnanam jai atma darshanam. Because atma darshanam, self-realization is jnanam. Self-realization is jnanam. Because one who sees that one thing, the soul inside, which is one and which has no duality in there, and which is the basis of everything, knowing that is aigalpya darshanam. That is the second part of that. Dharmo mal bhaktikaral prokto jnanam jai aigalpya darshanam. Atma darshanam. Or self-realization, Krishna is saying, is knowledge. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, if you are not realizing the self, whole life is a waste of time. Whole life is a waste of time. That's how Krishna sees that. Jnanam jaik Atma darshanam. Atma darshanam or is the goal of life. There is no other goal. And if you are cultivating that Atma darshanam and living a life in tune with that, then it is dharmam. So, different definitions. Definition for dharmam, definitions for jnanam. Definitions for dharmam is dharmam malbhaktigir proktam. If the lifestyle is such that it is developing bhakti in the heart, it is dharmam. Jnanam, if it is developing self-realization finally, then it is jnanam. That is how they see it. For them, the goal is the driving thing, force. The goal is important, not the process. We consider process important, isn't it? My process is better than your process. Krishna is not saying that. Krishna says, no matter what process it is, if it is at the end, these results are happening. If the life you are developing bhakti, whether you are a brahmachari, grihastham, sannyasi, doesn't matter. If you are not developed bhakti, what use, Krishna says at the end? Whether you are a sannyasi, what's the use if there is no bhakti inside? So that is why he is putting it very straight here. Dharmam malbhakti prokto. Similarly, jnanam jaik atma darshanam. If the knowledge is there, knowledge of the soul must be there. Otherwise, it is not worthwhile. That is why Krishna is saying here like that. Then what else he is saying here? Guneshu asango vairagyam. Next one. Guneshu asango vairagyam. Aishwaryam chanima daya. Guneshu asango vairagyam. He says here, let there be sattvagunam, let there be rajogunam, or let there be tamogunam. But you don't fall under the control of any of the gunam. That you have escaped from all the three modes of nature. Rajogunam, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. That's why he says here, guneshu asango vairagyam. From all the gunam, you have managed to free yourself from that. And that is called vairagyam. Krishna's definition of vairagyam is different than our understanding of vairagyam, isn't it? Our vairagyam is, I've given up drinking coffee, I've given up drinking tea. We consider that as vairagyam. Krishna's definition in Ekadasha Skandham is on a very higher level. Guneshu asango vairagyam, Krishna is saying. If you have escaped from the three modes of material nature, then you can say you've got vairagyam. Guneshu asango vairagyam, aishwaryam chani madaya, says here. Under no circumstances, you don't get victimized by any of the modes of nature. Sattvagunam, rajogunam or tamogunam. For example, sattvagunam. Sattvagunam, the quality of sattvagunam is that it creates good thoughts, good meditation inside, isn't it? Mind gets more under, chittavritti comes down and mind is under in a peaceful state. But you may experience that for some time in satsangam, for example. You experience for a while, for some time, a shanti inside and satsangam and created some sattvagunam inside. But as soon as you've gone away home or you got absorbed in something else, it's gone. That shanti has gone inside. So, but Krishna's point here is guneshu asango vairagyam. That means whichever modes are coming and going, not being affected by that and able to stay out of it. That is vairagyam. Naturally, you cannot stay in one mode all the time. That's not possible. Even if you try, you cannot do it. Because, you see, if you have no rajogunam, you can't do any work. These three modes are present in everyone. No one can live purely in sattvagunam, or purely in rajogunam, or purely in tamogunam. All the three modes are present in everyone at different mixture. In someone, sattvagunam predominates, someone rajogunam predominates, and someone tamogunam predominates. That's all. But everyone will have a percentage of all the three gunam. It's not always 33 and 1/3 each. somebody have satogunam 50%, 25% rajogunam, 25% tamogunam, or different proportions it is, depending on the... And not only that, this gunam will not stay the same in one person. That also changes. First of all, it will vary from one person to another. And in every person, these three gunams will fluctuate. They will fluctuate. Sometimes you can see when you wake up in the morning, there is more sattugunam. Is it not? The daytime, if you look, there is more sattugunam in the morning, rajogunam during the day, and tamogunam during the night, in the evenings. That's why people at the evening, you can see that mood of enjoyment in them. Uncontrolled senses. Where is that coming from? That rajogunam and tamogunam predominating them strongly. Sattugunam is completely gone. So, in ourselves, if you observe our own body, you can see this. Sattugunam predominates sometimes, rajogunam predominates sometimes, sometimes tamogunam. So, gunam, three modes are changing all the time. It changes from one person to another also. So, all these things are happening. Krishna says, so you can see, when sattugunam comes, you are able to engage in some spiritual activity, isn't it? When sattugunam is stronger than rajogunam and tamogunam, you are able to chant the holy name, or you are able to do something in a spiritual path, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, all kinds of things like that. So, but you can never take it for granted that sattugunam will stay. After a while, you will see that you are getting sleep. After chanting for a while, or you, after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, after a while you started feeling sleepy. But if you feel sleepy, you should sleep at that time. Not think that, no, I want to stay in sattugunam, I'm not accepting this rajogunam. You can't fight like that, it's not possible. That's not possible. But what is important there is, even when the sattugunam comes, or when the sleep comes, not to get completely driven by that. That is the difficult part of it. When sattugunam comes also, to recognize inside, this sattugunam is present in me, because of that I am able to engage in some spiritual activity. Similarly, tamogunam is coming in the form of sleep, it comes. And when the sleep comes, yes, I have to sleep, body is asking for it, I have to provide that now, and to sleep as much as necessary, so that that tamogunam will leave you after a while. That's the way to deal with the gunam, as Krishna is saying here. That whereas if you get completely sucked by the gunam, then you will get lost in that process. Krishna's point is, whatever that comes, treat them as a guest. When sattugunam comes, treat the sattugunam as a guest. And it has guest has come, so according to that sattugunam's nature, you have to act at that time. According to sattugunam's nature, you have to act at that time. And when sattugunam has gone, you will know it inside. Always that constant alertness inside. That particular mode is operating in me, therefore I have this desire for chanting. Or these are things which will happen in a very subtle level in a person. In a very subtle level in a person. Similarly, when lot of activities are developing inside, even at that time, you have to be fully conscious that rajogunam has come now. And I am working for that to meet that requirements of that rajogunam. And later on, when you feel sleep, after feeling very depressed or very tired or whatever, you feel want to go back and rest somewhere, that means the sleep is coming, you can take it that tamogunam is on its way coming. So one can observe oneself how the three modes of material nature is always visiting us and going, coming and going, coming and going all the time. And naturally you can see in the morning when you wake up, generally if a person is living in a reasonable way life, then you will see mode of goodness in the morning hours. This is the reason why we say we should engage in sadhana in the morning hours. For this reason only. So that is what Krishna mentions here. That to stay as a witness to everything. That witness state. Prakasham cha pravurtin cha mohameva cha pandava. In the Bhagavad Gita you will see a verse. I don't know which chapter it is. I think it is in the 14 is it? Prakashanja pravrtinja mohamevaja pandava. There is a verse. Talking about the three modes of material nature. That one, yeah. Three modes of material nature. Krishna says, prakashanja pravrtinja. Krishna says, prakashanja pravurtincha mohamevacha pandava. See those three verses, 22-25. Prakashanja pravurtincha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kaankshati udasina vadasino gunairyo na vichalyate gunam vartandayityevam yovatishtati nengade samadukha sukha swastha samaloshtashma kaanchana tulya priya priyo dhira tulya nindatma samstuti manabamanayo tulya tulyo mitrari pakshayoho sarvarambha parityagi gunatita samuchyate. There, in these verses, Krishna is talking about gunatita state. That means beyond the three modes of material nature. Gunatitan. You see, I mentioned also many times before, I don't know whether you've forgotten, in the Bhagavad Gita, at different places, different words Krishna will use. Gunatitan. Gunatitan means one who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Gunatitan, Dvandvatitan, another word. One who has gone beyond the dualities of material nature. Sthitapratnyatvam. Person who is situated in transcendence. Sthitapratnyam. So, yogi. Devotee. Jnani. These are all refers to the same person. We address them in different way. When Krishna presents Jnana Yogam, he will call him a Jnani. When he presents Bhakti Yogam, he will call him a devotee. When he presents Karma Yogam, he will call as a Karma Yogi. When he is presenting Dhyana Yogam, he will present him as Ashtanga Yogi. So, the wording may be different, or the title may be different, but if you understand the message, then you got it. You don't have to worry about it too much. Here, Krishna is saying, Gunatitan, that's the new title Krishna has given to the same person in this chapter. Because this chapter is all about the three modes of material nature. Three modes of material nature. So, when these three modes of material nature, different modes are operating within us, Krishna's point is that whether it is Sattvagunam, or Rajogunam, or Tamogunam, always to see which gunam is coming and influencing us, and when it leaves, we should know when it's leaving, and when the switch over from one gunam to another gunam happens. If we have become so fine inside, in such a subtle level, Sushmada has developed inside, Krishna says, you can think as a witness of everything what's happening. You become a witness of that. That means modes of nature is coming going, but be constantly alert over it and conscious that this particular mode has come, particular mode has left me now. Remember the example, we discussed this before many times. You can only explain that through examples, because everyone's modes are different. And in everyone it comes and goes at different times. At one time, one person will be in the mode of goodness, the next person sitting next to him will be in the mode of ignorance also. It is so diverse, the whole thing, variegatedness in there, is there. Just like you can see, if you keep on observing yourself, how this mode changes within ourselves. Say for example, that you have decided to go on a pilgrimage. We gave this example before. That you wanted to go on a pilgrimage. When did that thought develop? When you were in a Sattvagunam. You thought yourself that, well, I have been working so hard and so many years and so many days, and I need a break, not simply a break. I need to do something for my own spiritual interests. Some good thoughts comes up inside that you can take it. It is coming from Sattugunam. You thought about it and you thought, I should go and spend a few days in Vrindavanam or Mayapur or somewhere like that in the association of the some devotees or in ashram to spend some time like that. So thought occurred and you decided to go. You managed to book some few days, holiday or whatever it is, and then booked your ticket. You observe, look at yourself at that time. You will see that the day you have to travel, you made your journey to the airport. When you got there, all that rushing here, there, immigration and all sorts of things that's going on there. You have forgotten whole thing about spiritual life. At that moment, whole sattugunam, what he was inside, has completely gone and rajogunam has built up inside. Then you are in the close association of so many people in the flight. You are traveling with them and they are all different from us and they are acting different, talking different things. They have different tastes in this world and variety of people. In their association, you have to spend some time. And if you look at yourself at that time, you can see that good thoughts what you had from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, chanting the holy name, that's not even coming anywhere at that time, point in time. It's not coming anywhere inside. At that time, you are looking into the luggage. Is it safe there? Is anybody dropping out from there? Or is the flight getting on time? You are concerned about that. All kinds of things. So many thoughts are coming through. But if you look at your own thoughts, you can see that it is not in Sattvagunam. Most of them will be in the Rajogunam. Rajogunam has come there. Say you got to, say, Delhi or Haridwar, wherever you are planning to go. You got there and after getting there, you managed to check in somewhere, got your accommodation in some hotel or ashram or somewhere else. And then, even then, you have not come back to Sattugunam yet. Decided to go wandering around outside for a walk after a long flight. You wanted some energy to get back, so you go on outside. When you went out, you went into the shopping malls or to the places where there's a lot of business activities going on and all other kinds of entertainment. So many things are going on. When you looked everywhere, you see there's gambling going on, alcohol is being sold freely and all sorts of eating facilities, everything. But you thought yourself that you are unable to restrict yourself at that time. That influence of tamogunam pops up at that time very strongly inside. So in the same person who felt at one time Sattugunam in the morning and during his journey he felt Rajogunam and in the evening he is feeling Tamogunam inside. Then again he travels to some places separately from there. It takes a while to move to another place and then to Sattugunam to build up. We are not conscious of anything. Whatever the modes of nature is giving us, we have to take it, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here that as this knowledge inside builds up, what will happen is, these three modes of nature's coming and going will be very closely monitored by the person, by the self. He'll start monitoring it very closely. And not only that, because he is conscious of the impact of each of these gunam, Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, that is what Arjuna asked that question in that verse. If you look the verse before that, Arjuna Vacha, Kairlinge Strin Gunan Edan Atido Bhavadi Prabho Kim Acharam Katham Chaitam Strin Gunan Ativartate. That was Arjuna's question. Kairlinge Strin Gunan Edan. How does a person deal with the three modes of material nature and transcend them? That's more important. Not to stay in the modes of nature is the goal. Either of them, even Sattugunam or Rajogunam or Tamogunam. You can't stay in any of them. You have to escape from all the three. So he says here that one who has escaped from the three gunam, how he will behave in this world and how does he transcend the modes of nature? That is the question from Arjuna, isn't it? How does he transcend? and how does he behave in this world. Some, you see, the three modes of nature, they are compared to three thieves. You heard that story, haven't you? The three thieves. A businessman was walking with some money with him, and he had to go through a forest. While he was going through the forest, three thieves caught him and tied him down, took him inside to the deep forest, and completely looted everything what the businessman had. And out of the three, two thieves took out everything and they left. The third one, he brought this man to the boundary of the forest and removed all the ropes from him and told him, you go now to your village. I let you go. You go, he said. So this person, this businessman, says to this person who brought him and left him, let him go, who removed all the knots from his body. So businessman tells him that out of your three, you are the best one. Because you are very kind compared to other two. Other two, they just took away everything from me and they left. They didn't do anything for me. But you at least have shown some mercy to me. You have brought me here. You have removed all the knots. Although you have not given me back the money, but at least you allowed me to escape from the forest. Gave me my life back, in other words. So that person, that thief says to him, and this businessman invited him, you come with me to the village and stay with me for some time. So that thief says to him, look, I am also a thief like the other two. I am also a thief like the other two. I can do this much. This is what I have done for you, that I brought you here and left you here. Now you can go. After that, I don't want anything to do with you. Satvagunam is that thief. It's brought you to the boundary and let you go. That's Satvagunam. Rajogunam and Tamogunam is the other two who have completely looted and robbed you everything and left you in the forest like that. That is Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, the point here is that Prakashancha Pravartincha Mohamevacha Pandava. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Prakasham Pravurti, ja Mohamevacha Pandava. These three things, if you look, Prakasham is Sattugunam, Pravurti is Rajogunam, Moham is Tamogunam. That is why Krishna is saying like that. Prakashancha Pravurtincha Mohamevacha Pandava. It's very important in the sense, the symptom of Prakasham, Prakasham means enlightenment or illumination in a person. That constantly absorbed in spiritual life and taking spiritual life very seriously, that's a symptom of Prakasham, enlightenment in a person. That means he is looking in the, is going, moving in the right direction. That is why it's called Prakasham. Rajogunam, that is Sattugunam. Rajogunam brings pravritti, work, 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 endlessly working, non-stop, constantly working, pravritti. That is Rajogunam. And Moham, that is Tamogunam. Moham means illusion. What kind of illusion? Illusion is like this, that I can't do anything. Anything, what let happen, whatever happens, I don't mind. No enthusiasm for anything, no knowledge, no desire to escape from this situation, and considers, identifies with the body completely and living that life. That is Moham. So, Prakashancha Pravurtincha Mohamevacha Pandava. Krishna is saying, three modes of nature, if you observe in a person, these three things will be there in them very. So, wherever there is more Prakasham, you can say, Prakasham means the enlightenment, or where there is more illumination in a person, you can take it that there is Sattugunam. There is Sattugunam. Now, here there is something interesting. Sometimes, if you perform some good sadhana for a while, getting up early in the morning, chanting the holy name regularly, and keep your life in a disciplined manner, if you live, what in Shastram call as Brahmavarchasa will come. Brahmavarchasa means a certain kind of peace inside, and a certain illumination in that person. From outside, if you look at him, you will see in that person a kind of spiritual presence in him. You can't say effulgence comes much later, but a certain presence of spiritual consciousness in a person, you can observe that. If you practice it for a while, it doesn't have to be a very long period of time, say or 6 months or 1 year even. If you do that, a restricted life, very controlled life, following principles strongly, not wandering around in this world, absorbing in many, many things, not disturbing the mind, but fixed up in spiritual life, seriously living a life like that, it will happen. But that does not mean that knowledge has developed inside. You see? This is where we misunderstand things. When knowledge develops, the person becomes inward. That is the importance of the knowledge. You may not see outside anything in him. So that is what makes it sometimes very difficult. People see some people like this in this state, that after a while, just like sometimes brahmacharis, they lived a life of austerity for a few years and they followed the principles nicely, and they chanted the holy name properly on time every day, and restricted way they lived, for just by disciplining their life to some extent, there is a possibility of some natural way a certain illumination, prakasham, will develop in him. That is natural. Anybody will develop that. You will notice this if you are alert about that. But that does not mean that he has developed spiritual realization or knowledge. That is purely due to that sadhana, what he has done, and refraining and disciplining the life. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. That's to be taken note of. We misunderstand, say, oh, he's making a lot of spiritual advancement he has made, we'll think like that. No, he hasn't. That spiritual advancement is yet to come, because only Krishna will talk about this later, that the power of influence of knowledge in a person from outside, you can't make out that. You can't figure it out in a person. That's why many, many great jnanis, when you look at them from outside, they don't look that effulgent or anything. But inside, realization is very deep and strong. Very deep and strong. This is a common experience about the jnanis and the those who followed. We're talking about Satugunam. So, but when these three gunams are coming, you see, the difficulty is, if there is, you can't hate any of the gunam. That is also wrong. To hate Rajogunam or Tamogunam, because that's what we normally do, isn't it? We say, oh, I was in Tamogunam, I don't like it. We say like that. But no, you need to like Tamogunam also, because if there is no Tamogunam, you can't sleep at night. You'll be staying awake whole night. That's what will happen. So for a body, these three modes are necessary to keep that in a stable state, condition. Similarly, if there is no Rajogunam in the body, you won't be able to do any work. You won't be able to get up while be sitting like this whole day, if there is no Rajogunam. So Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, they all are necessary. When Sattugunam predominates, knowledge builds up inside. That is the advantage of Sattugunam. Sattugunam facilitates development of spiritual knowledge. That's all it is. It facilitates. Facilitates, isn't it? That's the word. It helps to develop spiritual knowledge. Whereas Rajogunam and Tamogunam, no help at all. Totally against spiritual life. Rajogunam and Tamogunam, totally. But at the same time, you need some Rajogunam and you need some Tamogunam in the body and the mind. Because to function in this world, you need them both. So therefore, you can't love them or you can't hate them either. You can't hate them either. But knowing that they are coming and going is knowledge. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then he mentions here, Guneshu Asango Vairagyam Aishwaryam Chani Madaya. Guneshu Asangam. In all these gunam which are happening, Asangatvam. No connection with that. Able to separate oneself from that and staying out of it. Even though gunam is working, that Prakriti is working. Modes of nature is working. Guneshu Asango Vairagyam. But there is no Sangam. Krishna is saying, when there is Asangatvam with the gunam, it is Vairagyam. That is the way Krishna defines that. Asangatvam towards gunam is vairagyam. Asangatvam means no connection. You don't stick to anything. You don't stick to anything. Gunam comes, gunam goes. That attitude. So when one knows, when will that happen? Krishna is saying here, when one sees that, he becomes a witness, observing everything and at the same time knowing very well, my identity is none of these. I'm separate from all of this. It's purely spiritual. That Krishna calls it as vairagyam. Guneshu asangam vairagyam. Aishwaryam chanima yatayam. What is Aishwarya mean? Aishwarya means, so we have now what we talked about before, anima, lekima, garima, so many siddhis we mentioned before, isn't it? Siddhi means, what does siddhi mean? Siddhi means anything that is extraordinary, isn't it? So, anything what you can do which others cannot do is a siddhi. Now, this siddhis also, there are various types of siddhi. Some people have some siddhi by birth. And then there is siddhi what you can develop through practice also. So, different kinds of siddhi. And then you can also develop siddhi through certain medicines. Through certain medicines, siddhi can be developed. Patanjali discusses all these things in the Yoga Sutra, how different siddhis are developed. For example, he mentions there that you see the birds, they have a capacity to fly, isn't it? That's a siddhi given to them by Krishna. What is that mechanism? It is not a mechanical arrangement. We got this idea of flying after observing the birds, isn't it? That's how the aeroplanes were developed. So aircraft is developed in that way. But the point is this, that Krishna has given that siddhi to them. And similarly, we have been given a siddhi to speak through a language, express ourselves. Similarly, to sing a song or to draw the picture, all these kind of siddhis are given to us. So Krishna, Uddhava asked about that, Krishna says to Uddhava that don't get completely driven by these siddhis, don't get completely influenced by these siddhis. So different people have different siddhis. It's a siddhi in a person. Music also is a siddhi that has come to him by birth. And when that talent is there, then if it is properly trained, sometimes it develops nicely. And similarly, sporting capacity, different games and athletic and all that, they are siddhis given to that body while birth, and that develops in a... So Krishna says that that this siddhi, what has come to us, that this will go, it is not permanent. It is only for a certain period of time it's there. It's not permanent. None of them are permanent. You can see that for a siddhi to operate also, it requires a certain medium, isn't it? Say for example, one who can run faster, only for a certain period of time that siddhi will work in him. After that, when he gets older, the body cannot function anymore. That siddhi has gone, then the siddhi cannot operate anymore, is it not? So siddhis are like that. Similarly, singing, music also. You won't be a good musician throughout life. For a certain period of time, you will remain in that siddhi is in your... Krishna has given you that siddhi. So same thing. So sometimes this siddhi will be taken away from us. And Krishna says here, in some people, for a certain period of time, it will come to them and then it will leave them. So just like in the prakriti, material nature, this body also has a particular dharmam to function here in this world in a particular way. And if you understand that, material nature is using this body to do certain things in this world, and then it takes away that from that person. If you understand karmam in that way, it is much better. Normally in our ego tells us, I've done this, I've done that, everything. Practically, if you see it in this way, that material nature is using this body, some job has to be done, and it has to get it done. Nature gives us that siddhi for that period of time. When the job is completed, it withdraws the siddhi from us and leaves it back, leaves us without that. leaves us without that. That is how all the work is done in this world. But what happens to us is when that siddhi comes to us, we start thinking, I've become very capable, I can do so many things. Not knowing that siddhi has come from the prakriti, from the material nature. So that's the point Krishna is making here. There is nothing much to feel proud about anything in this world. Proud about anything in this world. So, so many times you will experience yourself these things. Sometimes you want to talk from Bhagavad Gita, and naturally your understanding comes better when you start speaking about it. It's not that you have thought about it everything, all the time. It doesn't happen like that. When you start speaking from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, while speaking, Krishna gives you some understanding that it is like this. That it comes out. Who gives that? That Krishna gives that. Nobody else. It's not you can plan and study these things all the time. That's not possible. Similarly, even hearing also, when you are hearing, sometimes certain things comes and has its impact on you. Is it not? Some things just goes through. It doesn't have any impact inside. But certain things, it comes inside and puts a mark on you and it goes. And probably it remains for some time to come. That's the way these things happens in this world. So, Krishna says here that this Siddhis Uddhava is not something so seriously to be taken. That is why the nature will bring it to you and take it away. So, it's now 5:15. We'll start after 1/4 hour. Yeah. So, Krishna says, Dharmo malbhaktikat prokto jnanam jaik atmadarshanam guneshu asango vairagyam aishwaryam chanimadaya. As we have seen before, that the... Prakriti, material nature, engages us in different things, and that develops as a siddhi. It develops as a siddhi. Everything is a siddhi at the end, that according to the nature's, whatever capacity nature has given us, that is also a siddhi in us, in a siddhi in a person. But as long as we do not identify that it is our capacity or our ability in us, or our personality or our cleverness or pride in that, it has no place there. That's the proper way to understand that. Because if we take it like that, what will happen is the knowledge what is necessary for our spiritual advancement will develop inside. Otherwise it won't develop. That is why Krishna is saying here that everyone may not have all the things what we do in this world. In Shastram, the word they use is niyati. Niyati means, to some extent you can say it is destiny. Destiny. Niyati. Niyati means that there is something material nature wants to do with this body in this world. All of us, every one of this our bodies, it's meant to do certain things. Nature knows that better than us. And it's giving whatever that is necessary to do through that body. To that body, it provides that. Strength, the brain, the intelligence or the mind, strength, everything is provided by the material nature to execute that particular work through that body. Through that body. Whereas if we identify and start taking that on our shoulders and start thinking that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, if we start doing that, spiritual knowledge will never develop in that person. It is not possible. That's what Krishna is going to say now, that if any work that comes through this body, if it is meant to happen, it will happen. But on our own, we don't have to create something to survive in this world. Because if we do that, on our own effort, we try to create something, it will create bondage in this world. It will create bondage in this world. So there is, due to certain siddhis in people, which comes from the niyati, that means by prakriti's arrangement, it comes to us. To execute a particular job done, Krishna provides that siddhi to that person and that particular for a certain period of time to do that. That's how it has to be seen. that Krishna's arrangement, that is, there's nothing we have to say. Krishna wants us to do that, it happens through us and we are doing that, that's all. And siddhi is not what we need. What we need is shanti, not siddhi. What we need is shanti, shanti inside. Because shanti develops into dhyanam, meditation of that. So in order to know the vastu, nitya siddham, because what we have got here now is that Shastram is very boldly declaring to us that we are not this body. Isn't it? Very boldly, Shastram is strong on that point, telling us that we are not this body. And we are now trapped in this body. So how to get this attention away from this body to the soul? Krishna is saying that is self-realization. Krishna says, Jnanam Jai Atma Darshanam. That is knowledge. Krishna says, if you are succeeded in doing that, that means you have knowledge. You have knowledge, Krishna says here. So that samadhi state or jnana samadhi, shanti, then if we get that, we are perfect in our progress in spiritual life. We are moving in the right direction. So purnada comes there. No, it is not going to help any other kind of exhibition. It's not necessary in spiritual life. It develops like that. What can you do? Because that's the way in spiritual life, exhibition doesn't help. Exhibitionism or whatever they call it. So it's not necessary, and it may also mislead you in the wrong way. Exactly, Krishna is saying here, Aishwaryam Chani Madayam. Now, when Krishna said this, Uddhava is asking some questions. That is the next few verses you will see. From verse 28 to 32. It's all Uddhava's questions to Krishna. Let us look at that. Uddhava uvacha yamakkadhivida prokto nemo vari garshana kashama kodama krishna kati diksha dhriti prabho kim danam kipitava shauryam kim satyamrutam uchyate kastyaga kim dhanam cheshtam ko yajna kacha dakshina pumsakim silbalam shriman bhagolabhascha keshava ka vidya kri para ka shri kim sukham dukham eva cha ka pandita kascha murkha ka pandha ulpadascha ka kva sargo naraka ka svil ko bindhu urida kim griham ka adhya ko daridrava daridrova kribana ka ka ishwara edan prasnan mama brohi vibaridascha satpade. So Uddhava is saying to Krishna various things, a number of questions, one after the other, says to him that all these questions, what Uddhava has asked, if you look at the answer also, each one of them Krishna talks about them separately. Each one of them. For example, Uddhava is asking, what is Yamam? What is Niyamam? What is Shamam? What is Dhamam? What is Tidiksha? What is Dhridhi? What is Dhanam? What is Tapas? What is Shauryam? What is Satyam, Ritam, Tyagam, Dhanam, Cheshtam, Yajnam, Dakshina? Oh, number of things Uddhava is asking to Krishna. And basically Krishna is saying there that 12 things, Yamam and Niyamam, Krishna talks about there, 12 of them. Yamam Kadivida Prakto Niyamo Vari Krishna Kashama Kodama Krishna Radeksha Dhridhi Prabho. He says here. So, Ahimsa, for example, he says, Ahimsa is nothing but not to give pain to any living entity in this world. Not to give any pain to another living entity. So, Krishna puts it here that you give pain to another living entity. The reason for that is due to envy. Due to envy. That is the way Krishna says here. That the reason for giving pain to another living entity is due to envy. So that means if you have no envy inside, you won't become non-violent. Ahimsa is violence. So violence, normally when we look at violence, we will say slaughtering an animal is violence, or fight, killing another person, or giving physical pain, that's considered to be violence. But from Krishna's point of view, he says, if you feel envy towards anyone, you've already become violent to that person. If any envy develops inside towards another person, then you've already become violent. So, ahimsa, the way Krishna sees that, and the way we normally perceive ahimsa is different. In our ahimsa, our understanding that if you give physical pain or like say for example torture in the police or something, when they do torture, there's so much talk about the torture, isn't it? So those things are looked at in that way. Torture is considered to be a wrong thing to do. Physical violence, that is how we see violence, or beating up someone, or any kind of violence we perform, we look at it on a physical level, on a physical level. But Krishna's point is that violence begins with envy. Violence begins with envy. As soon as there is envious feeling towards anyone develops in the heart, it's considered to be violence. It's considered to be violence. That's what Krishna is saying here. So, because if by seeing someone, someone's opulence, someone's fame, or someone's any material situation in this world, if you have felt envy towards him, you have already shown violence to him. You have already shown violence to him. That is how subtle the whole thing is. We think everything is on a gross level, isn't it? But imagine how Krishna sees that. Krishna is saying that if ever you have shown any envy towards, if you have felt any envy inside towards anyone in any issue, then you have become violent already. Violence is there. So, asuyadi vritti rahityam satyam. So, what is satyam, truthfulness? Krishna's definition. Truthfulness, as far as Krishna is concerned, asuyadi vritti rahityam, that is what is mentioned as the ahimsa. Satyam is whatever that creates a shanti inside. If it creates shanti inside, and if it reminds of self-realization, Krishna or the soul, if it's bringing memory of that, and if it brings hitam, not priyam, if it brings hitam, hitam means that is leading us in the right path towards self-realization. That is what's hitam. Anything that creates hitam for us, Krishna says that is satyam. So that's how Krishna explains these things in this chapter. Because when Uddhava asked this question, which he see in these last 5-6 verses, he says here, yamam, what is yamam, niyamam, shamam, dhamam, tidiksha, so many things he is asking, Uddhava is asking. And Krishna is answering from verse 33 onwards till the end of this chapter, is all answers to that. It's all answers to that. So practically you can see that these questions which Uddhava has asked, Krishna has answered them in a way that is favorable for self-realization. Keeping that in the background, the answers are. Whatever, as far as Krishna is concerned, at the end, bhakti should develop and knowledge should be there. Vairagyam should be there. That's why he mentioned there, isn't it? Dharmam, jnanam, vairagyam, important things for him. In the verse 27, dharmam al bhakti, which is bhakti. Dharmam al bhakti grat prokto. Dharmam, Krishna says, if it develops bhakti in the heart, that is dharmam. If it is developing self-realization, that is jnanam. And if it is able to free yourself from the influence of the modes of nature, it's vairagyam. So Krishna started the whole thing. This, you can see this verse says that he started discussing this thing completely from a spiritual position. Normally, if you say vairagyam in this world to someone, what will you say? Oh, he is a renunciate, we'll say. That means he lives very austere. No material happiness for him, no sense enjoyment, or completely detached from all kinds of sensual happiness. That is what you will refer to generally as vairagyam, isn't it? But look at the way Krishna is referring to vairagyam. Guneshu asango vairagyam, he says. If you are not under the three modes of material nature, Krishna says it's vairagyam. So, in all these explanations, what Krishna is giving here, it is on a very higher level than the ordinary level, how you will see, we will see things, how we see things. For example, dharmam. Dharmam, how do we define? Normally, when you say dharmam, I'll say, for example, if you are very rigidly following വൈദിക ഫിലോസഫി ഓർ വേദി കൾച്ചർ. യു വിൽ സേ ഐ എം ഫോളോയിങ് വർണ്ണാശ്രമ ധർമ്മം. ദെൻ യു ആർ ഫോളോയിങ് ധർമ്മം. ഇഫ് യു ആർ ഫോളോയിങ് ദ ഫോർ വർണ്ണം ആൻഡ് ഫോർ ആശ്രമം, യു ആർ ഫോളോയിങ് ധർമ്മം. ബട്ട് ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ഹിയർ ഹൗ കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് നോ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ധർമ്മം മൽ ഭക്തികർ പ്രോക്തോ. ഇഫ് യുവർ ധർമ്മം, വട്ട് എവർ യു ആർ ഡൂയിങ് ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻറ്റ് മാറ്റർ വാട്ട് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ്, ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഡെവലപ്പിംഗ് ഭക്തി, ഡെവലപ്പിംഗ് ഭക്തി ഇൻ ദ ഹാർട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സൺ, നോ മാറ്റർ വാട്ട് ഈ ഡസ്, ഇഫ് ഈസ് ഡെവലപ്പിംഗ് ഭക്തി, ഹി ഹാസ് ഗോട്ട് ധർമ്മം ഇൻ ഹിം. സോ ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ദാറ്റ് ഡിഫറൻസ് ഇൻ ദി വേ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സീയിങ് തിങ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഡിഫറൻസ് എ വേ നോർമൽ വേൾഡ് സീ തിങ്സ്. സിമിലർലി ജ്ഞാനം ജയിക് ആത്മദർശനം. If you are realizing the self and self-realization has become the goal and in that way you are progressing towards that, Krishna says he has got knowledge. No other knowledge Krishna recognizes. Any knowledge of the material life in this world, Krishna is not accepting as knowledge. Only knowledge as far as Krishna is concerned, if you realize the self in this life, you say you got knowledge. And Krishna says you have got knowledge. If not, you have no knowledge. As far as Krishna is concerned. So, bhakti, dharmam is bhakti, jnanam is self-realization, and vairagyam is freedom from the three modes of material nature. Guneshu asango vairagyam, aishwaryam chanima daya. After saying that, Krishna stopped. Uddhava asked a number of questions, about quite a few of them, asking, if it is like that, then what these, all these things, what does it mean? Shamam, damam, tidiksha. പുംസം, വിദ്യ, ശ്രീ, സുഖം, ദുഃഖം, വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് ഓൾ മീൻ ദെൻ? ദാറ്റ്സ് ഹൗ ഉദ്ധവ ആസ് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഇസ് ആൻസർ ടു ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സ്റ്റാർട്ടഡ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ. ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാചാം, അഹിംസ സത്യമസ്തേയം അസംഗോ ഹ്രീരസഞ്ചയ ആസ്തിക്യം ബ്രഹ്മചര്യം ച മൗനം സ്ഥൈര്യം ക്ഷമാഭയം ശൗപം ജപസ്തപോ ഹോമം ശ്രദ്ധാദിത്യം മദർശനം തീർത്ഥാടനം പരാർത്ഥേഹ തുഷ്ടി ആചാര്യസേവനം ഏതേയമാസ നിയമ ഉഭയോർദ്വാദശ സ്മൃതാഹ പുംസാമുപാസിതസ്താഥ യഥാ കാമം ദുഹന്തിഹി ശമോമന്നിഷ്ഠതേ ബുദ്ധേർ ദമൈന്ദ്രിയ സംയമം തിദീക്ഷാ ദുഃഖസംഹർഷോ ജിഹോവസ്തജയോ ധൃതി ദണ്ഡന്യാസപരം ദാനം കാമത്യാഗാതപം സ്മൃതം സ്വഭാവവിജയം ശൗര്യം സത്യം ച സമദർശനം ഹൃദം ജസൂനൃതാവാണി കവിഭീ പരികീർത്തിത കർമ്മസ്വസംഗമാ ശൗചം ത്യാഗം സന്യാസമുച്യതേ. സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് ടു അണ്ടർസ്റ്റാൻഡ് ദിസ് ബിക്കോസ് വി ആർ നോർമലി യൂസ് ടു സീയിങ് തിങ്സ് ഫ്രം ദ വേൾഡ് ആൻഡ് അക്സെപ്റ്റിംഗ് തിങ്സ് ഫ്രം ദ വേൾഡ് ഇൻ വൺ വേ. വാട്ട് ഈസ് സന്യാസം? കൃഷ്ണ ആൻഡ് ഉദ്ധവ ആസ്ക് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ. കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് ത്യാഗം സന്യാസം ഉച്ചതേ, ത്യാഗം സന്യാസം ഉച്ചതേ. സന്യാസം ഈസ് ത്യാഗം. ഈ സൈസ് ധർമ്മം ഇഷ്ടധനം നൃണം യജ്ഞോഹം ഭഗവത്തമ ദക്ഷിണാജ്ഞാന സന്ദേശം പ്രാണായാമ പരമ്പരം. സോ നമ്പർ ഓഫ് തിങ്സ് ഹിയർ ആൻഡ് സത്യഞ്ച സൂനൃതാ വാണി. സോ വാട്ട് ഈസ് ഓസ്പീഷ്യസ് ഫോർ അസ് കൃഷ്ണ സൈസ് ഇറ്റ് സത്യം. സപ്പോസ് ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ ഇഫ് ഐ സേ just like this example, this is important. It's light outside now. Suppose if I say it's dark now, if I say it's dark now, it's not truth, isn't it? It's not satyam, but it is actually. Or if it is bright now, if I say it's bright at the moment, we'll say it's day now. Just by me saying that, that is not considered to be truth. That's not considered to be the truth. Because what it is that the truth is, like example, two people say they beat up each other on the street. They fought each other, they beat up each other. I have seen that. But that is not truth. That is a fact. See that difference there? Truth and the fact, we have to know what it means. Truth is different than the fact. Suppose I saw something, I saw somebody robbing somebody or mugging someone. I've seen that, that's a fact, but that's not the truth. Truth, when in Shastram, when something is addressed as truth, it is not what we call as truth. That's the important thing. So it may be fact, but it is not the truth. Fact is different, truth is different. So, whatever the newspaper, the television, the media, that's all reporting the fact. That's not reporting the truth. Unless we understand this, we won't understand spiritual life. That's the difficulty. Because truth is only one thing. That is the important point. That is what Krishna says here. For example, you read the newspaper, or you read anything for that matter, anything, television, whatever it is, and so what happens, sometimes it creates anger in us, or some kind of response inside from us. Our ragadvesham, attachment and aversion, builds up inside, isn't it? Something what is shown in the television, we accept that as it's a fact, and it had an impact in us. It has an impact in us. And if it is impacting in us in such a way, and if it is creating ragadvesham inside, it is not truth. It is a fact. It is a fact. You see that very subtle level, that difference? If something you heard, if it is creating shanti, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam inside, it is satyam. It is truth. You think about it again. The way Shastram sees truth is different than the way we see the truth. For us, for example, in the court we give the, suppose you go as a witness to some riots or something like that, and they will ask you, have you seen this? Yes, I've seen it. And you are holding on to any scripture, Bible or Bhagavad Gita or Quran or something, and you are taking the vow that I will speak nothing but the truth. Actually, you are not speaking the truth, you are speaking the fact. You know, when the witness box you go in, and if you are a believer, they will give you one of the scripture, whatever you are believes in, Bhagavad Gita or Bible or Quran or whatever. And then you have to say, holding that book, I'll say that whatever I speak, I'll take the vow that it will be always the truth. But that is the wrong thing. It's not the truth you are speaking, you are speaking the fact. There is a difference there. That difference, you will understand that because the reason for that is the truth in this world, all Srimad Bhagavatam says as Satyam Param Dhimahi. That is the only truth. Satyam, the soul, is the only truth in this whole creation. Everything else is on a very, very relative plane, certain things happening, what we take it, call it as for vyavaharam, that is the truth. You may call it as the truth. But from the spiritual point of view, it's not the truth. Because what it has done is, it has created certain impact inside us in the form of attachment or aversion. Or some kind of chitavritti it has created inside. Therefore, it is not the truth. It is only a fact. All what it has done is, it has created some, in some kind of excitement or emotions inside us, and it's gone. And so therefore, it is not the truth. Truth is only the soul. To stress that point, that is why it's mentioned here. Krishna says that truth is only what is related to the soul. Therefore, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, these things creates a realization, jnanam inside, knowledge inside. Therefore, they are truth. They are truth. Bhakti is truth, jnanam is truth, vairagyam is truth. Because that creates Krishna consciousness inside. Therefore, it is truth. Because Krishna consciousness is the only truth. Therefore. Otherwise, it's not. So, here you can see here that if anything, doesn't matter what it is, if it is creating anger, kamam, desires inside, krodham, anger, or any kind of emotions inside, it is not truth. It is not truth. So, similarly, asteyam, ahimsa, satyam. Satyam. Satyam is like that. Asteyam. Asteyam means not stealing anything from anybody else. Anybody else. In this world is very good in that way. The sense that without knowing, they know how to get your money out from you. Without your knowledge. And so many systems they have created for that. Actually, that's all against the truth. It is asteyam it is. Same means that in a nice way, getting the money from your pocket to my pocket, that is ase, that is the stealing, isn't it? That is the way it is. Like, for example, you can see these systems what we have created, like the share markets and all sorts of things, banking system, how they very nicely take a direct debit from your account as and when they like it, or take you, empty your bank account. In a nice way they do it. That is, so that is the kind of stealing it is from the Shastri point of view. It's the same. So, so many things, it doesn't have to be a direct stealing, but it will happen. The things will, job will be done. So, so any technique, if you develop in your imagination and take the money from another person, doesn't matter whichever process you do it. There are various ways. Business people all do that, isn't it? In a very nice way they can do it. And when it becomes a big corporation, they will devise new techniques how to get the money out of somebody else's into their hands. And that is what this modern business is all about, isn't it? Prabhupada used to hate this modern business because of this. The intricate way how money is stolen from others, wealth is taken away from them in that way. So, so the normal principle is that if you want to take something from someone, you should give him something. Otherwise, you shouldn't take it. So that way something is balanced. Otherwise, if you cheat people and take things from them, Krishna says that is stealing. So nisangada, or in other words, lajja hri, Krishna says, and that is lajja. Lajja means nisangada. Krishna says here, asango hri asanjaya. Satyam astayam asangro hri asanjaya. Hri means that. Hri means that this hri is a great qualification for the women. For the women to have that. And in Devi Mahalpam it says, among them, the hri, when the hri develops in them, that is the presence of the Sri Parvati's presence in their consciousness. That is what it is. Trishu lajja. That is how it says there. So, lajja kulastrishu. So, because in this age, it is not considered anymore a good quality, therefore, because everybody is equal now, so, if you read all these things, they will say you belong to another century, not to this 21st century. So, they'll say like that. Anyway, here, important thing is Krishna says here, asanjaya. That was hri. Hri means about this lajja. Asanjaya means accumulating wealth. Accumulating wealth. Why Krishna says? Let's see, look at that way. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, that one acquires more wealth than what is necessary for living in this world, there that will be followed by a lot of dangers. A lot of danger will come after that. It is a law of the world. It's a law of the world. Bhartrihari mentions this. If you look, Bhartrihari was a great rishi, was a sage. He mentions there, Lakshmi yadanda padandri tattam. That Lakshmi when she is present, Lakshmi Devi when she is present somewhere, what will happen is, he says, that in the rainy season, if you leave the door open, like the flies comes inside seeing the lights, and they will fly around. Sometimes there is a fire. They'll fall into the fire and die. In the same way, so we know that money is necessary in life. Money is necessary in life. But if we acquire more than what is necessary, it will turn out to be poison. It will turn out to be poison. That is the way wealth is. In order to execute dharma in this world, you need money. There is no question about that. To live in this world, you need money also. But it is like a double-edged sword, the money is. To eat, to live somewhere, you need the money. Without being dependent on someone for clothing, shelter, everything. But if it comes more than what is necessary, it has got some power in it. It has got some power in it. We don't know about that. That is the problem. Krishna says here, if it comes in excess, it will generate a force in us to do certain things which normally you wouldn't have done. That's the problem with this money. Money, excess when it comes, it will generate a force within us to act in a way in this world, and it will move out of any dharma. No principle in life, life will go. So we will start thinking certain things which we normally won't think. Such thoughts will come into the mind. And we will start doing things which normally we wouldn't have done, or we would have thought it was wrong to do. Such things can happen, or it will force us to do that. That is the power of the money. Money strength, that is. That power money has got. That we may not know it, only when it comes and experience that, you will know how it does. It will make us to be, to act in a certain way, which will be against the principles of dharma. So, in Aurobindo's ashram in Pondicherry, there was a French lady there who, after Aurobindo left that, went away, after Aurobindo departed from this world, this French lady, she was the, they call it as the Yogini, Yogini mother. They used to call her like that. Very old lady. She lived up to quite an advanced age, nearly 100 years or something. She lived there. And she has written a book, if you want, you can read, The Occult Power of Money. It's called The Occult Power of Money. And she says there that behind this money, there's a thing called a mind behind it, behind the money. And because where is that coming from? In the olden days, the rishis, they were very alert about this thing called money. What havoc it can create if it goes in excess. And you can see that in their way of life also, how the rishis lived. What they do, when they perform their sandhyavandanam means the three times they have three sandhyas, that means in the morning, the midday and the evening, they perform, brahmanas, rishis also perform sandhyavandanam. When they perform sandhyavandanam, if you look into the mantram they chant, one of the mantram is Yacha Ugrad Pradigrahad, it says. Yacha Ugrad Pradigrahad. That means they may have received some pradigraham. Pradigraham means that they have performed some spiritual activity for somebody's benefit. In return, they received some in as a dakshina or a pradigraham. That is called pradigraham. They have been given something. That's been given pradigraham. So, they are saying there in that mantram, Yacha Ugrad Pradigrahad, that while offering that sandhyavandanam, they are saying that in our pradigraham, when we receive the pradigraham, if there is some something what we have collected unknowingly, what we are not entitled for, let that not create, disturb my tapas. My penances and spirituality, let that not get disturbed by that. That is the prayer. Because they had to be extremely cautious when they had to take money from someone. They had to take money from someone. So, what they say is, if by receiving money from someone, if it has created any damage to me in my spiritual life, please remove that from me. That is one of the prayers in their Sandhyavandanam prayers. They pray like this. It says like that. So, for example, you may have taken money from people, from those people who may not have acquired that money properly, in the proper way. That can happen, is it not? So if you have taken money from somebody who has just not been acquired properly, for example, sometimes you see in this world, people are so wealthy and they are involved in the arms deal, in supplying arms and ammunition to different countries, and they make a lot of big, big deals. So they will think, we have made so much profit now, let me give something to the Vaishnavas and the devotees and all. Let them make a donation to that. They are thinking like that. And they may give you a good donation and everything. But when you receive that money, it can happen that through that money, whatever business they have done, behind that there is a lot of vasanas they have created. A part of that vasana must flow with that cash to you. It has to come to you. There's no question about that. There's no question about that. So therefore, you see, the difficulty here is that if you have accepted that way anything, for a Brahmana, Shastram has allowed charity. Charity is allowed. Shastram has allowed that. But at the same time, Brahmana is not allowed to work and earn a living also. He is allowed charity. Look at the difficulty there. He is not allowed to work in this world. That is not allowed for him to work, to earn a living. He is not allowed to work. He is allowed to accept charity and he is allowed to give charity also. So, he should not get, the main principle is he should not do anything and get money from that. That's not allowed for a Brahmana. So, the whatever yajnam or sacrifices or charity or austerities what he is performing, that's a different thing. So, the thing is that the money what he is getting and his activities, they are kept separately. They are kept separately. There should not be any connection between the two. This is the principle. There should not be any connection between the two. That means he is collecting money, charity, he is giving charity, taking charity, and he is performing spiritual life. But the moment you link these two, then he has gone, lost it. He has lost it. Because from the very beginning, he has to take this into his account. What is that? That his dharmam, or dharma means the cultivation of bhakti, knowledge, renunciation, everything, it should not depend on the money what he is getting. That relationship should not never happen in his life. These are very subtle things nobody will tell us except Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And those who have lived that life, they know this. This complexity. Therefore, in their life, there is no upheavals. They live that steady life throughout. They may not look very rich or wealthy in our eyes, but without causing any disturbance in their life, they will escape from this world, even though they have to do some vyavaharam in this world. So, main thing is, his dharmam should not be dependent on the money. On the money. So, therefore, what they are saying is that there should not be any connection with the dharmam, what he is executing, and the money what he is receiving. Therefore, in the past, what used to happen was, when they wanted to give in charity, they will invite brahmanas. Olden days, I'm saying this, not today. Today there is no brahmana, there is no charity, there is no, everything is in a mess. But in the varnashrama system, if you invite a brahmana to give charity to him, most of the educated brahmanas will refuse. They won't accept it. They won't accept it. You can offer them any amount, they will not accept it. The reason is that they don't want to link that with their tapas, with their life. So valuable for them spiritual life was. So valuable it was that they couldn't link, because they don't know how the money has come. How the money has come. So majority of cases they will reject. And they will accept going to the field and picking up some old grains what's fallen and bring it over and cook and eat. Or like Tyagaraja did, what the brahmanas used to do was unchavarti. Unchavarti means they will only take a pot with them and collect some rice or dal from some house, whatever they have given, and they'll cook and eat that. That is allowed. That will not harm them very much. Always they are conscious that what they are taking from anyone else, is it going to harm me? In that thinking behind it, all the time. So that is Brahminical culture. So what happened was that normally when they give the charity, they know very well they may have a lot of desires, those who are giving the charity. They may have a lot of selfishness in them. Brahmana is supposed to be free from any selfishness, isn't it? Because that's what's making him a Brahmana. Now, if you take charity from a person who is very selfish, and a man who has got a lot of desires in him, and if you receive the money through his hands, it is possible that a part of that selfishness and desires in him will flow through the money to your consciousness as well. And they are knowing very well, the brahmanas will not accept the charity, that was the principle. So, so what they will do, the person who is giving, you see the power of sankalpam in all these things. The man who is giving is thinking, I've done a lot of wrong things in my life. So because of that, I want to come out of it. So he is giving this money to the Brahmana. Brahmana is receiving it. He is very conscious that this money has not come in the right way. It may have come through many wrong means, through various wrong ways, whatever it is. So naturally that money, when it comes, in that money, it does carry that thoughts of that person who has given it. His sankalpam is what? When he is giving the money, he is thinking, I've done a lot of wrong things. This is a compensation for that. I'm giving this to you. Please take this. So normally when they invite the Brahmana to come, they will refuse. They will say no. So therefore, majority of the Brahmanas who were educated, who knew the Shastram very well, and who did not believe in this receiving this charity in this way, they will refuse. They will refuse. And today what's happening? Today's Brahmanas are looking for where they have no idea about this, because all this sankalpam behind it is never understood. What can you do? They think that every opportunity, like a businessman is thinking, that every opportunity should be completely exploited and utilized. So here, Krishna is saying here, so therefore what used to happen was, the person who is giving the charity, he will give the charity. After that, he will wash the Brahmana's feet. And after washing his feet, he will pay his obeisances to him. And then he will thank him for accepting the charity. Normally, what do? The one who gets the money should thank the person for giving it, isn't it? This is the difference, I'm saying, in Vedic system and in the modern world. Here, suppose somebody gives me 50 pounds, I'll say, thank you very much. Isn't it? It's the different things. But in the Brahminical culture, when you give the charity to him, he doesn't want it. But if he is so sure that the money will not be used for his own purpose anyway, not a penny from that, then he may accept it. He may accept it even then. That is not sure. That's his discrimination. There are rules related to that in the Smriti, where you can accept and where you can't. But the difference is, today now, we thank the person who has given the money. But the person who has given the money has to thank the Brahmana for accepting it. He washes his feet, he pays his obeisances, gives the money and says, thanking him for accepting this. Because he knew through that money, the sinful reactions part of it, I'm transmitting to you. You take it now, a share of it. There we go. So it is not so, that is why Krishna is saying all these things. Uddhava asked this question, and Krishna is saying to him that the important thing, Uddhava, is this, that if it is not developing, Brahmanas were so sensitive to all these things, the subtleties of life. We are so gross in our thinking. We only see the gross side of it. How much money has gone into my bank account? That's what matters to me. That's how we think. But Brahmana has no bank account, first of all. He didn't have to need to have that bank account at that time. So most of them, in their best of times, they will never go to accept parigraham. This is called parigraham. Parigraham, they won't want it. If their times are reasonably okay, only in extreme difficult situations, he will go. Extremely difficult. If it comes unbearable, totally unbearable. Best example in the Bhagavatam, you know. I don't have to say. Sudama. You think if Sudama couldn't have got money, easily he could have got it. If he wanted it. But he wouldn't. Why? This is the reason. That for him, that Brahmavarchasa inside is more important. That self-realization inside, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, he doesn't want to disturb that. Other things are not important for him as far as material life is concerned. If there is food to eat, he will eat it. If it does not, it doesn't matter, you'll fast happily without any problem. That was his mood. That is Brahmanyam. This is called Brahmanyam. Brahmanyam is all these things. Now people are saying that I've got so much money for this marriage, so much money for that marriage, and he puts an account on all the websites, everything. And the Brahmana says that, I've collected all this money through my Dakshina, he says.
what have they understood? So this is the interesting thing to think about that. So, and because it is like that, they are frightened. Why are they frightened? The reason is that, what will happen to me if I accept this? So frightened they were. One thing, possibility of getting some sickness, serious illness can come from that. Yacha ugrat pratigraha. That is what that mantram in the Sandhyavandanam is indicating, that some serious illness can happen from this. And we never know that. So normally you can see many of these diseases what we get also in life is mainly due to, we don't know the subtle reason behind it, why this disease has come to me. It's not everything so crystal clear when an illness comes, isn't it? Doctor doesn't tell you why you got it. It has come, what can you do? That all our nerves, body, everything, and they are all connected with the mind, isn't it? All the nerves in the body, everything is connected with the mind. And therefore, neurotic or not, that's what they call as the neurology, isn't it? Based on this principle. So neurosis or whatever, it is linked with the mind, and the mind, main thing inside the mind is the pride, abhimanam or ego inside. So every time when we accept something, any thing from somebody, and any experience of any pleasure from anything, where does it go? It goes and touches that ego inside. Whenever we accept something from someone, when somebody gives something to us, or we accept that, and or any pleasure when you experience from that, where is it going and touching? It touches your ego inside. Oh, you have given me that, thank you. I am happy about that. Who is saying this? The ego inside is accepting that. So according to the pleasure what you receive, according to the object that has been received, according to its nature, there will be a certain vibrations in our ego also, and that will have its impact on the nerves, as well. So according to that, things what we receive, these are all very subtle factors in the principle of charity, receiving the charity, everything. So correspondingly, there will be some reactions in there. That is the reason rishis, the sages, they have given importance to these little things. You may think, why you make such a big fuss about all these things? You may ask like that. But the sages are telling us that these little things does matter. That's what matters actually. For example, how to eat, how to sleep, how to bathe, how to perform sadhana, and how to deal with the world, how to live in the world, how to work with the earth and the flow of river, mountain. All these things, some sambandham, some connections, the rishis have spoken. In their life they have shown to us. For this reason only, that if you keep all these things with these objects in this world, the rishis are saying that rhythm of life will not go. It will stay in that properly tuned way. Otherwise, you will lose that rhythm. You can see that those who live a life in this world completely disconnected with the nature, their lifestyle, if you observe, the possibility is that they can get various illnesses very easily in that. The far away, we move away from the nature to a long, for a big gap, then it is possible that we are completely upset the whole system. And that's where many of the problems comes. So therefore, Krishis are saying to us that they tell us that keep some connection with the world, with the earth, with the rivers, with the mountains, and with the trees, plants, everything, all other living entities, some connection in some form to maintain is important, because it keeps that rhythm inside in a proper way. This package will work better that way. Unfortunately, what's happening now, all our connection is with the computer, television, mobile phone. These are our world now. If you ask, somebody said this, and he said he went to Chennai, and there is this big beach there, Marina Beach. And a lot of these IT companies, they have built huge multi-story buildings there, with their lot of people employed there near the seashore. It's near the seashore, all these buildings in one row you can see, all these big IT companies. So one person went to see his friend working there. So when he went there, this particular building was a little away from the sea, but he could see the sea from there. But when he asked this friend, where is the sea? Immediately he put the key, enter key button and showed him on the computer. Although the sea was there, right? He couldn't answer. So to such an extent, it shows that identification with the computer and TV and mobile phone, everything has come so strongly in that person that he can't even see the sea on next to him, which was not far from there. So this is the impact. The sages, they are saying to us that never break away from the material nature. So so Krishna is saying here, so as far as money is concerned, money is necessary in life. That is also reality. But according to the destiny, if it is coming here or any other, what they say, inheritance or something like that, if it comes like that, you can take it. But one has to know also how to use that money. Otherwise, it will create disaster later. It will create disaster later. And utilize it for the right purpose. So Krishna is saying, Ka deyam dina janayaja vittam. Dina janayaja vittam. So, so many things. Ahimsa satyam asteyam asango hri asanjaya. Astikyam brahmacharyam cha maunam stairyam kshama abhayam. Shaujam dabas tapo homam shraddhadityam madarchanam tirthadanam paryartheha. Tushti acharya sevanam. So, many things, because the sages knew about the problems with this money. Sometimes very rich people, when they get certain illness, incurable, or which cannot be cured, when they come, in Ayurvedam, the system is that after analysis, they couldn't find out what is the reason behind the illnesses. They couldn't find out the reason behind it. If it was an unbalanced state in the body, then they may find some cure for that. But sometimes, on diagnosis, they couldn't say what exactly has caused the reason, and they're unable to find it. In that situation, what they will tell the person is that do this charity. Feed some 500 people for a few days nicely in a particular place or in a holy place or something like that, and instruct them to spend some money, and it may have its benefit for you as far as this illness is concerned. So you can see the connection between the money that has been earned and your health. There is a relationship there as well, with the health and the money that has been earned in the wrong way. So so not utilizing the wealth for our own sense gratification or life in this world, and offering it to Krishna and escape from everything. That is the best solution, if one can do that. Offer everything to Krishna and escape from the reaction. Because by doing that, Krishna is saying there that Krishna doesn't need anything. It's for our own benefit we have to do that, not to get touched by the material nature. So Krishna says here, Aishwaryam Chani Madaya. Whenever Aishwaryam comes, opulence comes, give it to Krishna. And this is exactly what Ambarish Maharaj did. If you remember the story in the ninth canto, Ambarish Maharaj's story is nothing but this. So much wealth he had, but everything was for Krishna. Everything was for Krishna. So that is Abharigraham. So idea behind that is not to feel pride inside. And this is the technique behind it. Sutram, or the method, or the process by which not to develop pride inside. So the great personalities like Ambarish, like Yudhishthira Maharaj and all, what they did, whenever they had money, a lot of money coming, they performed big sacrifices. That sacrifice was not performed with the intention of going back to the heavenly planets. For example, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed Rajasuyam. Rajasuyam costing so much money, isn't it? It's one of the most expensive yajna among all the other yajnas. Lasting for a long period of time requires a lot of wealth. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was not very rich. He was not so rich. After the war, most of the money was, before the war also, he wasn't having any wealth. After the war only he got the kingdom. But for the war they needed money. But prior to that, when Rajasuyam was performed, in that Rajasuyam sacrifice they needed a lot of wealth. And Arjuna, Nakula, Bhima, Sahadeva, they brought a lot of wealth. And as soon as the wealth came, Yudhishthira Maharaj immediately performed Rajasuyam. And similarly, you can see all the great kings, if you look back, they were the wealthy people and they kept on spending money on different sacrifices. Ashwamedham, you can see Prajinabharg is performing one after the other, Ashwamedha sacrifice. And even Prudhu Maharaj performed sacrifices, isn't it? So why sacrifice? Why should they not keep up the money? But no, they know that. More it stays with them, it will create more problems for them. They knew that subtle aspect of the wealth, how wealth can cause problems. So, the only thing what we have to do about this is, Vedam, always remember this, Vedam is Krishna's words. Is Krishna's words. Krishna's words, it is Krishna's words. Therefore, whatever Vedam has spoken, we should not put our intelligence and logic into it and go against that. That will be causing the problem. Most of the problem comes from that. Vedam, if you accept the authority of the Vedam, then there is no need to go against it, because these subtle things are spoken in the Vedam. Vedam tells us all these things. If you do this, this will happen. And there are examples in the Puranam to substantiate that. The same principles. If you don't go against that and accept that, then the possibility is that it won't create any damage to us. So here, some people will ask, why do you say all these things on the Vedam and making a definition about that? Definition is what is that? Only definition is Vedam has spoken like this. If you are, what is the difficulty in accepting that? So we are accepting so many things now, if the science is telling us, isn't it? Science tells us so many things, we are accepting that. We have not experimented everything and accepted that. Similarly, these subtle issues, very subtle issues, it cannot be experimented and found out. Therefore, you have only one option to accept what the Vedas say. So, Vedam says that Astikyam Brahmacharyam. It says here, keeping the mind very pure, that is important, it says here. And for the householder also can be a Brahmachari. And Brahmachari also has Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharyam is the quality in him. So he mentions here that if you stay within a particular law, whether you are a grihastha or a brahmachari, you are maintaining brahmacharyam. That is what Krishna is saying here. And you will see here that astikyam brahmacharyam. See that in the verse 33. Ahimsa satyam asteyam asangohri asanjaya astikyam brahmacharyam cha maunam stairyam kshamobhayam. So when Krishna is saying brahmacharyam, he is not referring to a brahmachari as such. What he is saying is, this brahmachari principles, if a grihastha is maintaining, according to the Vedic Shastra, Vaidikam Vidhi, then he is also following brahmacharyam. He has got brahmachari gunam in him. He may be a householder. He doesn't have to act like a brahmachari. But if he follows the instructions as given for the householder, if he follows that, he has got that brahmacharyam in him. Word brahmacharya means one who is traveling towards Brahmam. One who is traveling towards Brahmam. So then Krishna talks about maunam, not to talk unnecessary things. And maunam vradam, Krishna is saying here. So sometimes you can see certain things you feel that you should not have spoken. It will be better that you kept quiet about it. And then you will know how powerful the silence is. Sometimes we say everything what comes to our mind, we tell others and we get into trouble with that, isn't it? So therefore, maunam, Krishna calls it here, it's an austerity also. And vaka, maunam, Krishna says here, maunam, maunam, sairyam, kshama, abhayam. The word what we speak, that is also, is a very powerful force that comes out. And in order to conserve that energy of the word, maunam is necessary. So then Krishna talks about kshama. Kshama means to tolerate everything what is in this life, all the problems, and not fearful about anything. Then Krishna talks about yamam, niyamam, That means shariram, the purity of the mind, purity of the body, purity of chanting the holy name, purity of the austerity, purity of the sacrifices, and an attention to the words and instructions of the shastram and the advanced spiritual personalities, and accepting the guests in the proper way, deity worship, traveling to holy places, doing what good can one can for others, always in the happy state, serving the spiritual master, all these are nema. There's a number of them what is mentioned there. We will not go through all of them now. What we will do now is we will finish this chapter here. And we will take these qualities separately some of the time and look at it. But next Sunday, we'll start with Muchukunda's stuti, Muchukunda's glorification, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We'll discuss that next Sunday onwards, a few classes. And after that, we'll discuss Bhajagovindam and go through some other part. And then we'll come back to Srimad Bhagavatam later. We'll stop today. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Which one? Ah, 51. Yeah. One song saying, on the 7th of May, which is a bank holiday, I believe. Sorry, 7th of May is a bank holiday. So we will have a class on that day also at Mother Suniti's house. Suniti's house. In Barnet, where we had classes before. We'll start at 7 o'clock and finish at 12. It's in the usual way, just on that day. And of course, Naveen will put that on the website later on. Okay. Yeah, Muchukunda's prayers in the PDF format, it is on the website. If you want to download it from there or from Bhagavatam, whichever way it is.